Blog Talk Radio.
I want to thank everybody for another episode of Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Brother Seth, and we are lined up tonight, everybody, for an exciting, exciting topic. I must be honest, it's not one I like to deal with, though, and the reason why is you get all kind of people. You get people that are seriously trying to pursue the Most High, trying to better their life, trying to live that higher quality life. But you also attract religious people. I mean, on the Christianity side, as well as our brothers and sisters that are studying Egyptology or Kemet or Masonry or whatever, you just tend to draw rebels on both sides, religious people on both sides, folks that are so bent on, what's the word I'm looking for, so bent on the letter or the research, then they, and they miss the spirit of the whole thing. For that reason, I'm not excited to deal with this subject, because you draw it all. So, for that reason, I kind of reluctantly deal with the topic, but it's those of you that seek the Most High with your heart and you're really, really looking for truth, is why Brother Seth do this show tonight. Again, it's not one of my favorite topics, but if I'm going to be an unbiased host, you've got to bring all types of, we got to bring a lot of people. Herman Sperm and Can, I really wish you just do something else with your time, whoever you are. We really are serious. There are so many other blogs you can be on. You know, guys, I just get tired of people that don't have nothing to do but to just cause problems. I mean, what nature are you of anyway? This is a religious show. We're reaching out. We're trying to learn something spiritually. And you're talking about you're bored and we played, what, 2 minutes ago? Come on now. Give us a break. If you bring intellectual, spiritual insight, stay around, share. If not, go join any other blog. Don't waste your time, really. Or else I'm just going to cut you off and you'll be cut off. Okay? But anyway, I just want to thank everybody for visiting the show, stopping by early. I already have people in both the chat room and let's see here. Hold on 1 second, folks. We already have people in the chat room and on the phone lines, and I just want to thank y'all for being so early. And like I say, tonight we're going to be dealing with both Christianity as well as Judaism, as well as the research of the pyramids, the research of Luxor, the research of Egypt, and how that intermingles, intertwines, relates to the Bible. Okay? That's what we're dealing with tonight, simple and plain. So I ask everyone, please, please be on your best behavior, on your most spiritual behavior, or on your most intellectual behavior, because we are truly trying to seek the Most High and what His will is for our planet, our people, and ourselves. It's just that simple. Nothing else. I got better things to do with my time, okay? So if you don't like the topic, you're not interested, again, go to another blog. It's very simple. Just thousands of them out there, okay? I do want to say that Brother Joseph is going to be joining us tonight. This is one of the brothers that Brother Joseph, I know y'all know, he's been really spearheading a lot of this research, been really on me to talk about some of these things. And he feels like he had found some things out. And if I'm any type of friend, I would investigate. Now, let me just say this. Take care of a few little so-called house cleaning issues, and then we're going to jump right into this because we got several audio clips that we're going to play. We're going to play them. They're short clips. I found short clips where we can breathe and comment and discuss. And then we'll play another one. Then we'll discuss because some of the brightest minds out there on this subject, or I should say some of the most knowledgeable people, because I don't know if I always agree with them, but it's hard to get them. So you have to get them through audio, and then you discuss the audio. That's what we'll do tonight. So having said that, I'm going to give Brother Joseph a few more minutes. Brother Joseph, if you are in the house, press 1 on your phone where I can see you. But otherwise, I'm going to give him a few more minutes, and I'll share this while he is Well, I see you now, my brother. I'll share this before I bring on Brother Joseph. Please, if you enjoy Five Smooth Stones and what we do on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays and Sundays, well, not Sunday, that's the family show, but on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, those Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays we are on, if you enjoy, follow the show. It's just as simple. Follow the show. stop right now, click over, and hit follow. Follow the show. Some of y'all tell me how much you enjoy the show, but you're not following it. Get reminders into your email, reminders into your phone. That's the only way. We don't get money from you. We don't get nothing from you. That's your way of saying I support you, Brother Seth, okay? Having said that, once you go to our front page, fivesmoothstone.com/5_, that's the number 5, 5_smooth_stones. That's 5 smooth stones, 5_smooth_stones. You will see a website. Go to that website. We have a website. Go to the website and join the website. It's a brand new website. So, you know, we still are gathering members, and we have lots of pictures that talk about the 5 topics that we call 5 smooth stones. Those 5 topics are covered in that website, and you'll see the different things we talk about, okay? Let me go ahead and open the line with Brother Joseph, because we're going to move fast. We're going to get these tapes on. We're going to get the road, and it's going to get deep here real quick. But Brother Joseph, are you there? Brother Joseph, are you there?
I'm here, Brother Seth. Peace.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, listen, I'm not going to waste much time, because we're going to cover all these videos, and they're very, very, I think, controversial. But it's going to cause some ruckus, I tell you that, just these videos alone. Now, I do know that more people are coming to the phone lines as well as the chat room, and I want to give them a little bit of time to come. So I just want to give my, I don't know what to call this, I just want to give a statement of belief that may be considered pro-Christianity. I don't like the word Christianity at all, because I don't call what I believe Christianity. I like the word Judaism. I don't like neither one of those words, because there was no J in Hebrew. So I'm a believer of the book. I know that, let me just state what I believe. And then, Brother Joseph, you state what you've come to find out with the whole, with your knowledge of Egypt and Kemet and Luxor. Egypt is Kemet, you know what I mean. But state what you believe and what you have come to learn. Where is this research taking you? Why are you so all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, because you've been talking about this for some time, but why does Egypt, Luxor, masonry, all these things, why do they stir you so? What are you looking for? What is your goal with bringing out all this? And when you get done, I'm going to share what I feel about this whole topic, and then we're going to start the video. So why don't you go ahead and just share with people, if you can, about 3 minutes or so, and then I'll do the same, and then we'll start these highly anticipated audio clips, and we'll, like I said, we'll stop them, and we'll get into it. Hold on, before I say a word, somebody has their hand up. I don't know if this is a question or comment. So before I say anything, you know how we do when you press press 1, we come to you quickly. So area code 760-705, who am I speaking with? Hello, who am I speaking with?
Yeah.
You know what I believe, Brother Joseph? People like that must be very close to suicide. I'm very serious. For you to value yourself enough to call, go on a show, it's just starting out, and you have, I mean, the kind of stuff people do, you wonder, how much value do they have for themselves, you know? You just wonder. Sometimes it scares me how people respond to just people just trying to do what's right. Got to be the nature of Satan. But anyway, that's enough time on my show. All right, Brother Joseph, go ahead. Share why, what's up with Egypt, Luxor, the Masons, what's up?
Well, you know, I ain't got nothing to do with the Masons. Don't want to have nothing, you know. I'm not both trying to build on the Masons. My thing is Akhenaten. And see, when I was younger, and I used to listen to the tales of Egypt, it was a little confusing. Maybe I didn't have the right teacher at that time. But as I got older, well, really, it took me to go to Luxor to see it with my own eyes. And then when I came back, I started getting into the right lessons. And my whole conclusion led me to Akhenaten and Moses is the same person. That the whole story came out of Armenia. The whole Exodus story came out of Akhenaten when he left one region of Egypt and went to another part. That's where the whole biblical story came from, out of Egypt. I'm saying this humbly, and the foundation is dead. The foundation is dead. I just don't understand why black people don't want to look at Luxor. Why? They missing a lot. And Brussel, I'm not the type to fall in love with something just because it sound good and it make me feel good. That's dangerous. If you got feelings like that or emotions that weak that you can't balance them out, you ain't ready for this battle here. And see, this Christianity, this Islam, and this Hebrew is weapon holding us back. If we was to look at the whole Akhenaten story and take it further, and take it further, see what you'll come up with. That's why we can't come together. Monotheism was what Akhenaten revolution was about. He was the one that took Egypt down to a level where it couldn't come back no more. And from there, that's when she started being invaded from outside of forces. And the same way I used to see when I was in Luxor, the same way I see white people coming to Luxor with this great awe is how they was coming in Luxor back then, putting their script together for the day and time. And brother, I know you can add on. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with it. But I see the truth now, but you know who? I'm going to say this, brother. We don't people that taken aided Akhenaten in that revolution. And when we left Egypt, that region of Egypt, we went with him to Armenia. And when them forces came up against Akhenaten and tore Armenia down, yourself, you've been on the run ever since. You've been on the run ever since Armenia. You heard me?
I hear you. But let me say this. I want you to go ahead and wrap that up, and then I'm going to give a little intro, and then we're going to get into this, man, for real. I got four tapes, four audios, very short, very strong, very facts feel according to that belief system, and then we're going to discuss it. So finish up, and then I'm going to have my turn, and then we'll play this audio. I'm sure people are wanting to hear these facts. I got the strongest videos I could find out there on this. Hold some videos, different ones, take different angles, and let's go ahead and do this, man. So go ahead and share what you have to share, and finish up there, and we'll go ahead and get into this.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and leave it for there right now, because I'm kind of cloudy right now, because this is a terrible revolution kicking off in my head right now. I guess I'll add on after you or after the videos or whatever.
But, okay. Let me share this with the people quickly, and then we'll get the video going. First and foremost, I'm the host of this show.
And I don't know what all that means. It's not no great power of will in here, but this is a little blog I created. I believe words are powerful. I believe beliefs are powerful. And I think you have to be careful what you tell people. Information can cause people to soar and do great exploits, and information can cause people to do some very damnable things. It's just that powerful information. So when I talk about belief systems and religion and God and Bible, and I'm very, 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 very serious. Folks' beliefs is on the line, and I think you can turn people to the Most High or against the Most High based upon what you share. So I don't play around with beliefs. If I believe something, I believe something. Don't mean I'm right, but I think we're supposed to be responsible with what we believe. I don't think it's something you can toy with and play with, and today you're going to be a Muslim, tomorrow you're going to be a Christian, the next day you're going to be this. I do think we change and evolve. We have an evolution process, but I just feel like there's a lot of people floating around just looking for the next new boat, religious boat to jump on, the religious tag to wear on their name, and that's what I believe. So having said that, I do believe that the book, the Bible, the 66 books have been tampered with. I do believe they're missing books, for sure. I can prove it. This I can prove. I do believe the Bible has been tampered with. This I can prove. However, with the Bible being a non-perfect book, it does have a perfect spirit that's behind it. And as you know, Christ said that the Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. He never said that the Scriptures would. He said the Spirit would. The same Spirit that moved on the prophets to write this, that, and the other is still around today. That's where my stock is at. My belief is in the Most High and His Spirit that is upon the earth, not a book that man have access to tamper with, to write different versions every month, every year, whenever they want to do it, not to hide it and have votes on what books get in and out like they did at the Council of Nicaea. Having said that, these books in the Bible, I think, are the most powerful thing. I do think there's versions by King James who might have been a homosexual and every other issue, but King James didn't write the Bible. The Nicene Council did not write the Bible. I think they tampered with the Bible. I think they tried to change the book. I think they tried to alter the book. But the book is still there. It's just, I think they have put their influence in it. Where? That's to be debated. Where and what books have been influenced by them? That's to be debated. But there's been millions of people, billions of people that have put the Bible on task and have proven the Bible by their lifestyle. And a lot of people have testified for billions and billions of time of the power of this book. And I don't think we got that many liars on the planet. Now, having said that, there are some people that come across those inaccuracies that I mentioned earlier, and they want to throw the whole book away. They want to throw the whole so-called Christianity away. Well, they want to throw Christ away. They want to throw, and maybe they are right. Let's just go there for a second. Maybe they're right. But in my mind, in my assessment, in my spirit, I don't give them much credence, because oftentimes, like I say, they are religious people. They don't stay true to nothing, some of these people. They just don't. If you watch them, their lives is not more filled, happy, prosperous, anything that the Most High said he would bring in the Scriptures. Their lives don't reflect the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the Most High. Why would I believe in them anyway? So these people have no credence to me. All right, so while the book has been through a lot, I still think there's truth in it. And Egyptology, by the way, and I'm wrapping this up, has as many divisions as Christianity, has as many secrets as Christianity, has many versions as Christianity. And like I say, most of the people that I know that talk about Egyptology don't have the kind of fruit that a lot of people I know that is stuck in the church. A lot of these people, they may have the they may not be able to defend a lot of their beliefs, or they may not be the smartest about the Bible, but I look at their lifestyles. In the end, it's all about the lifestyle, folk. I mean, we got to stand before the Maker, according to the book. And what does it matter? I mean, what does it matter if, anyway, I'm talking too much here. Let's go ahead and play the clip, and then we'll get back to our comments on this. But I just want everybody to know this is where I stand on this topic. I think Egypt, Luxor, has a lot of glory. I'll say this over and over again. I am a fan of Luxor. I'm a fan of Egypt. And I'm not just saying that just to be, you know, politically correct. I really, truly am. I think that Egypt in its glory days and Luxor in its glory days, that whole continent in its glory days was the cradle of civilization. Everything come from there. Everything. Everything. But I don't know, because it is the origin of all things, I don't know that I believe any old body that's talking about Egypt, any old body that's talking about the Egyptian goddesses and gods. I don't know. Just because they start talking and we don't know what they're talking about, we have a tendency to think, oh, they're right. They must be right, because I've never heard this. I never heard that. Just because you never heard what they're saying don't mean they're right. They could be saying some intellectual things and just have still missed it. So, anyway, let's go ahead with the first clip. I've waited on some people to come because we sent out a lot of notices late, and as I always do, seems like I can't get that on time, on point. So let's start with this first one clip. It's called Christ in Egypt, the Horus Connection. Here we go.
Over a century ago, renowned British Egyptologist Sir Dr. E. A. Wallace Budge, a keeper of the Egyptian and Assyrian antiquities at the British Museum, as well as a confessed Christian, remarked that a study tracing the influence of ancient Egyptian religious beliefs and mythology on Christianity would fill a comparatively large volume. Since Dr. Budge's time, for a variety of reasons, including the seemingly irreconcilable academic gap between historians and theologians, no one has taken up the call to produce such a volume until now. Destined to be a classic enjoyed by both the professional scholar and the layperson, this comparative religion book contains a startling perspective of the extraordinary history of the Egyptian religion and its profound influence upon the later Christian faith. Christ in Egypt, the Horus Jesus Connection by D.M. Murdoch, also known as Acharya S., uses a massive amount of primary sources and the works of highly credentialed authorities in relevant fields to demonstrate that the popular gods Horus and Jesus possessed many characteristics and attributes in common. Drawing from thousands of ancient Egyptian texts in an assortment of translations along with the original language, as well as modern research in a number of other languages, controversial independent scholar of comparative religion and mythology, Ms. Murdoch, puts together an astonishing amount of fascinating information that shows many of our most cherished religious beliefs and concepts did not appear suddenly out of the blue, but have long histories in numerous cultures found around the globe, including and especially in the glorious land of the pharaohs. If you thought part one of the official version of the movie Zeitgeist was interesting and wanted to learn more, here is the book you have been waiting for. Find out whether or not the following is true about the Egyptian god Horus. Horus was born on December 25th, or the winter solstice, in a manger. He was of royal descent, and his mother was the Virgin Isis Mary. Horus's birth was announced by a star in the east and attended by three wise men. At age 12, he was a child teacher in the temple, and at age 30, he was baptized. Horus was baptized by Anup the Baptizer, who was decapitated. The Egyptian god had 12 companions, helpers, or disciples. Horus performed miracles, exorcised demons, and raised Osiris from the dead. The god walked on water. Horus was crucified between two thieves. He, or Osiris, was buried for 3 days in a tomb and resurrected. Horus, or Osiris, was also the way, the truth, the life, Messiah, the Son of Man, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, the Word made flesh, the Word of truth, etc. Horus was called Holy Child as well as the Anointed One, while Osiris was the Christ. Horus' battle with the Evil One, Set or Seth. Horus was to reign for 1,000 years. Christ in Egypt, the Horus-Jesus connection, uses thousands of primary source texts, such as the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the Pyramid Texts, the Coffin Texts, the Hebrew and Greek Old Testaments, the Greek New Testament, Coptic texts, and the writings of early church fathers. Christ in Egypt also includes research in the original languages such as Egyptian, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. Christ in Egypt incorporates modern research in German and French with everything conveniently translated for your ease of reference. Christ in Egypt further includes a brand new map of Egypt specifically created by the author with all the relevant place names.
Christ in Egypt, I just wanted to play just a little bit of that, even though they advertise in a book. I guess that's a few plugs for them, a plug for them. But I wanted to play that clip because it says very startling things right off the bat. I mean, immediately, right off the bat, it's just in your face. And I didn't find nothing that had that many facts so quickly. That was every bit of 3 minutes. But it was a lot of information quickly about this chorus that I've heard about for years. Brother Joseph, what do you take of what you just heard? And anybody else on the phone lines or in the chat room that have a comment, question, you're welcome to press 1 on your phone. Or type in the chat room a question mark before your question, and I'll see it, and we'll try to get it answered. Now, I'm going to let you go first, and I'm going to go after you, Brother Joseph. What do you think of what you've heard so far?
Well, it sounds like biblical stories to me. I mean, you know, sound like, you know, that your typical biblical stories, you know.
But do you believe that the Egyptians did have a horse and he did was buried 3 days and walked on water and was the way of truth and light, reigned 1,000 years, all the things that was said? How do you feel?
Well, see, I don't like touching that type of stuff. I like her proof and evidence and facts.
Now hold on. When you say facts, this is why. It's funny you say you don't want to talk about this because you want to get on a knot and just bear with me. I'm a little bit. I took a nap before I did the show, and I'm a little bit slow tonight. But I do know what I'm talking about. Now, you've been talking forever about this whole topic, and you've been talking about but you can't pick and choose with Egypt, the study of Egypt. There is there are schools of thought, and they pretty much all say the same thing. Now, if you're going to endorse well, let me go down another road. I don't want to just, if that's your belief, that's your belief. Let me say what I was want to say about this clip. This is what you hear. People come on, and they supposedly have went and looked at the hieroglyphics or what some people call the Metuneta, and they come away with these doctrines, okay? You say you want hardcore proof. These who I call Egyptologists or studies, the people that study Kemet or study the ancient Africa writings, or these people, there's a lot of guessing going on. There's a lot of, like with the whole Horus thing. I've heard it, and the reason why
it didn't stick with me because, hey, if I found out these things are true, they just true. I just got to line up with them and just adjust, simple and plain. But what bothers me is they just say something. You're supposed to believe it. They'll show you, like they have been saying forever, that the Egyptians served many gods. They were saying that forever. Well, John Henry Clark, one of the brightest minds on the planet, have my respect in lots of ways. You know, he also studied Egypt, and he's been to Egypt many times. This brother was sharing how this is all a lie, that the Egyptians only served one deity. Just like this Akhenaten, what you keep talking about. And by the way, he's also known as Amenhotep the Fourth. Am I right? He's known as Amenhotep the Fourth, or Brother Joseph. And just like you talk about him so much, brother, this John Henry Clark was saying that if you study the pyramids and the different symbols, it all points to one God. Yeah, there was goddesses and gods and goddesses, but they wasn't the ultimate. The ultimate or the highest power within that culture was one God, one being. Now, that right there is a total different cry from what most archaeologists say about Egypt. Again, Egyptology is just as full of many beliefs as Christianity. Egyptology is full of as many deceptions as so-called Christianity, okay? Whenever you have mankind on the planet, and whenever they're talking about the Most High, look for deception, look for lies, look for trickery, look for ignorance. It's just the way it is within any religion. No matter if you're talking about Islam, talking about Hinduism, whatever, you're going to find truth, and you're going to find a bunch of lies. So this is why it never really pulled me in. Yeah, they say some very things that's fascinating. What if there was a horse, and what if he did die and was raised on the third day? What if he did have 12 disciples? I've heard the argument, and we're about to play a clip. It gets stronger. That clip was pretty bold and in your face, but there's some more clips we got that's a lot longer and more information. I wouldn't say more information, but just as astonishing information. But if you listen to these people, unless you go to Egypt, and go get a master's degree in reading hieroglyphics, and really, I mean, who are you going to get your master's degree from? And are they going to be prejudiced towards Christianity? So who's teaching you what? How do you know? Brother Joseph, you quote a lot of people, but how do these people know? How do they really, really know? When it all boils down, would you put your life on the line? I know you'll put your life on the line and say, we've been lied to. Something ain't right. We all would do that. We know something ain't right about all of this. Everybody knows that something ain't right about all of this. Everybody should know there's some pieces missing. Some things are not jiving. We all know that. Don't think a lot of Christians don't know that. But my point is to you, how do you know what is what? You just can't hear a video or audio and just say, that's right. I mean, how do you know, Brother Joseph? How do you know that what you're hearing ain't somebody that's pissed off at Christianity and that's looking for every kind of way to sell it out? How do you know? And then you listen to some of these same people that, you know, you have said in the past and many other people have said in the past, they're devils, which I vehemently disagree with and think is crazy. But it's been said that they're wicked, they're evil. But you turn around and you listen to these same white people tell you these things. Now, I don't say these things about whites. I don't say they're devils and all this. So some of y'all that have said they're wicked, and I don't think that's been you in fairness to you, but a lot of people some of these people that have so much against Caucasian will turn around and quote them and live by the very books that they're putting out there. So I don't get it. I just don't get it.
No.
Who is your source? Who are you believing?
No, it ain't that I believe none of them.
I'm just on a quest of investigating. That's all. In this day and time, it's dangerous to have a belief system. I don't believe nothing, not nothing. If it ain't my brother giving it to me, and I got him under investigation too. And see, I got a good brother that I would like to play, and it would be real good for myself. Brother named Yahshua Sarah Akhenaten from out of the Midwest.
Brother Joseph, right now,
we may do that
in the future. But you ascribe to a lot of the teachers in Egypt and a lot of things you said. I think this next clip, this brother is going to be saying something. You'll like this next clip. Folks, these clips are strong. I'm letting y'all know this right now. If y'all some babies and baby Christians or baby believers in the Most High, you just started living right yesterday. And that's good that you come in out of the rain. But I don't know if these clips are for you. This is some strong stuff. If you just want to hear something just to learn tonight, I switch to another show. I highly recommend one. This is one time I don't recommend you listen to this show if you are not rooted and grounded in what you believe. It will rock your world, I'm telling you. It did when I first heard it because I never heard such. I never heard that Horus and Christ had the same, that Horus died and rose again, walked on water, had 12 disciples, rose the third day, said it was the way, the truth, and the life. You know, and you know another thing? Who's to say how old this is? I mean, we weren't living 100 years ago. We weren't living 200 years ago. Who's to say that there hasn't been a movement to undermine Christianity and that this stuff is not even as old as they say? I mean, how do we know? We're looking at hieroglyphics. We're looking at art. We don't know what exactly we're looking at. And everybody tried to interpret it straight from Europe, and we just don't know. A lot of our black scholars that try to do the same thing, interpret, some of them have learned from these scholars out of Europe. Not saying that they hadn't learned by themselves. I do think there's some self-taught people who do know the truth in Africa. I'm not trying to say Africa get everything from Europe. But what I'm saying is, how do we know to trust these people? Now, I told you why I stick to the book. The reason I like the Bible is because, hold on, give me 30 seconds. The reason I like the Bible is because it says, this is what's going to happen to you. And half of the time, what it says is going to happen to certain people, they don't even know what it says. They have no clue, and they begin to act out this. Now, I know last show you said, well, these people just, these Zionists is the one that predicted all this stuff ahead of time, and they got us all fooled. Well, you can say that. You can always say that, Brother Joseph, but I just believe that they're not that powerful. Anytime people are predicting something, you know, thousands of years away, I don't think mankind have that type of intellect to do that. I'm sorry. I know we got technology, and that's supposed to be something really sharp, but we do not have the ability to predict slavery and ships, slave ships, and how women are going to be taken by another nation, and how our young boys are going to be locked up in prison, and how we'll work all the days of our life and we won't enjoy our labor, and how that all the things that the Bible says, all the things that the Bible says about Israel. And then it goes on to say very clearly that Israel had dark skin. I don't think white people, if they had any kind of sense, would put in a book that white skin is associated with the curse and dark skin is the color of the prophet. It just don't make no sense to me. So this is why I throw out anybody talking about the white man wrote the Bible. Yes, I think they tried to tamper with it. But if they got rid of all of the Bible, it wouldn't be the Bible. So they have to leave some truth there, and the truth that they left there shows them up. It don't hold water, man. Go ahead.
No, brother. All I'm saying is, let's stick to Akhenaten. I'm not with that Horus thing because it sounds too much like Christianity. It just leaves too much room for speculation and utter foolishness. I'm telling you, let me put this on what I got.
No. Listen. Hold on, Brother Joseph. You can't change. Hold on now. You can't change the program. Now, I've told you before we go on the show. But hold on. Listen to me, man. I'm playing tonight clips of Egyptology or researchers just like you are in Egypt. A lot of the things you have said over these previous shows, this is like part three, a lot of things you've said, even about Hotep, Amen Hotep the second, I mean the fourth, is going to be quoted here shortly. And you're going to be clapping your hands saying, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. So just bear with me. They're going to start preaching your gospel here in a second. They, trust me, I got some clips that's going to be saying what you said all along. And we're going to analyze them. So let's go ahead. The people want to hear these clips. And we're going to play these clips. And we, if they're not long, folks, we're going to play them. We're going to comment. Y'all, on, those on your phone lines, if y'all want to have a comment, fine. Those of you in the chat room, you want to ask questions, fine. We're going to discuss what we hear. I'm warning you again that these audio clips are very strong language against Christianity. And just be prayerful, not just tonight, but anytime you hear anybody declaring anything about deity, it's just a good thing to be prayerful with what you hear. So you've been warned. All right, this next clip is going to probably say a lot of what you said, Brother Joseph, in the past. Let's go ahead and get this on, and we'll talk about it afterwards, okay? Well, here we go.
Oh my God.
Before I begin, I'd like to thank Brooklyn News X6, Fuck Tazadakia, and Apu for the various links and clips that you guys have been forwarding the Rebel Alliance by our antagonizers, our adversaries, members of the insidious Israelite Church and God of Jesus Christ. I assure you that we will deal with all the rhetoric and propaganda and the erroneous claims that these different guys are pushing, Eric Smith and Lester Wentz and the other guy, Harmon Slater. But for now, let's get into the Zodiac. Let's get into the relationship between Jesus Christ and the Zodiac. Greetings again for tuning in. You know, our largest viewers are the Israelites, the Black Hebrew Israelites, predominantly members of the Israelite Church on God Jesus Christ. In the days of old, dating back to the ancient civilizations of Babylonians, the Egyptians, Sumerians, Celtics, Mexicans, Incans, Aztecs, and countless others, man kept track of times and seasons by the movement of the sun. Daily, monthly, and yearly. They were able to do this by a sundial. The sundial tracked the movement of the sun daily. In addition, the entire year was charted on this round calendar dial. We experienced four seasons, fall, winter, spring, and summer. As a result, the round calendar is divided into four parts. Each part signifies a solstice or an equinox. Winter and summer are solstices, and spring and autumn are equinoxes. Remember, this yearly calendar is round. If you draw a vertical line within the circle, you cut the circle in half. The two ending points are the winter and summer solstices. Now draw a horizontal line. The two ending points are the spring and autumn equinoxes. Within this circle, we see a cross. Ancient and modern works allude to this as the cross of the zodiac. Many of you are familiar with the term zodiac. We were all born in certain months, thus we have a zodiac sign. Our zodiac sign is where the sun happened to be within that month. There are 12 months within a year, so there are 12 zodiac signs. Each month has a zodiac sign. Each monthly zodiac sign is called a house. Try to envision yourself in a time where there is no street lights at night. The only lights at night are the moon and the stars. Stars are beautiful, are they not? Ancient civilizations observed the heavens. They saw stars and saw bodies. The characters of the zodiac is what they saw. The characters of the constellation is what they saw. My question, viewers, is this. Is there any relationship between the zodiac and the Bible? Is there any relationship between the constellations and the Bible? Is there any relationship between the zodiac and Christ? Is there any relationship between the Zodiac and the Apostles? Is there any relationship between the Zodiac and the 12 tribes of Israel? Is there any relationship between the constellations and the 12 tribes of Israel? Now, let us be honest and unbiased. There are icons of Christ within the Zodiac, are they not? And in every icon of the Zodiac, where we see Jesus Christ appearing, Christ is always centered where the sun would be. Why is that, audience? Why do we see Jesus Christ and the 12 apostles within certain Zodiac icons? The answer is easy to confess if you're honest and unbiased, but hard to utter if you're a devoted Christian. I say this because Christians are far from honest and most biased and prejudiced. Now, the reason Jesus is within the Zodiac as the sun is because that is the true meaning behind, or one of the meanings of Christ. He is not a historical individual. He's not a historical man. He is a personification of the sun. The character that we know as Christ, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, he is a sun god. He is a solar deity, just as many solar deities that preceded him. Sol Invictus, Apollos, Helios, Mithra. Jesus Christ replaced all those different sun gods, Horus. This is why we see Christ and the cross. Both represent the sun. When you research history and you delve into the origins and the history of the cross, you will learn that the cross is associated with the sun. You subtract the sun, monitor the sun, you name it. The cross was used in ancient times to monitor and track the sun. Jesus Christ is the sun god. And the cross of the Zodiac, the sun hangs on a zodiacal cross. Thus, we have Christ hanging on a cross. What ignorant Christians believe to be the crucifixion, in reality, and in allegorical terms, is Jesus Christ, the sun god, hanging on the cross of the Zodiac. Christ and the 12 apostles are within the Zodiac, and many of these zodiacal icons. The 12 apostles are nothing more but the 12 months of the year, to be frank. Now, I know what this all sounds like to you guys that are listening. It sounds like heresy, sounds like unsound doctrine. But the ultimate question is this: have any of you researched the origins and history of the cross? Certain sects of Christianity, such as the Israelite Church of God and Jesus Christ, would have you believe that our questions are easy, basic, and simple. Then they turn around and say that our questions are idiotic and ignorant. Then they say that they don't have to answer our questions. Then they say that they're only here to defend the faith, defend the gospel. It's not the cross associated with their doctrine, with their faith, with their gospel. There are Israelite groups that do not acknowledge the cross. They do not wear the cross. They do not wear the cross in their garments. They may not know the history of it, but they don't, wear it like the Israelite Church of God Jesus Christ. Members of the Israelite Church of God Jesus Christ wear the cross on their garments. They wear the cross around their neck. So I do not understand how they can deem that question insignificant, idiotic, or why they even ignore the question. If they are defending their faith, if they are defending the gospel, they believe in the cross. They wear the crosses on their garment. They wear the crosses on their neck. So why haven't they defended that subject matter yet? Because they know if they researched the origins of the cross, then they know that they would have to shut down. It was once a dogma. It was once taught in the Israelite Church and God Jesus Christ not to wear crosses. But, a lot of things have changed over the years. Nevertheless, have any of you researched the origins and the history of the cross? Have any of you researched astrology, the zodiac, solstices, equinoxes? Have you? Of course you haven't. Your own Bible documents characters of the constellation. Your own Bible records the seven stars and Orion and Pleiades. Your own Bible speaks about astrologers. Your own Bible talks about zodiac houses. So this isn't something that's far-fetched. You can't say, I'm making this up, and you know, we're just, you know, we're speaking blasphemy and heresy. Your own Bible records characters of the constellation. So this is evidence, this is proof that the ancient civilizations in history, man was observing the heavens. Man was observing the nightly stars. Now, can't any of you attempt to explain why Jesus Christ appears in a zodiac? Some of you will claim that Christ is not a sun god, but all the facts and the evidence suggest otherwise.
Okay. Pretty strong language. Pretty strong language. I've lost Brother Joseph some kind of way. Hopefully he'll call back. He had problems with his phone the first time. But this is what I call just one of the voices out there speaking out. Egyptology or Egyptian this is one of the voices out there, and there's thousands, and you probably couldn't get any of them to. Let me just bring Brother Joseph back in. Brother Joseph, you're back. You're on the phone. Are you there?
I'm here. Hey, brother, I don't like them pips. Let me put this brother on. This is what I wanted to present
Listen to what I'm saying, okay? First of all, you have been very unprofessional right about now. And you and I talked a long time about what we were going to share, and I said I had four clips I've already loaded into the system. If you play that clip from your phone, people can't hear it, all right? So we're not going to go down that road, man. Please don't bring it up again.
Yeah,
hold on, please. Saturday, I have a show. You can do it then. But we already have clips lined up. These are researchers from Egypt, Egyptologists, archaeologists. These are people that's been out on the road talking about this for a while. We're going to go with what we got, okay? A lot of these people have been saying the very same things you're saying. You might not agree with some of them, but I just want to expose the people as to what's being said about Christ, what's being said about virgin birth, what's being said about this, what's being said about that, and maybe a lot of this is show enough truth. But I want the people to hear two sides. I'm a little bit biased towards the way, you know how I believe, but I think sometimes when you're trying to grow and learn more about the Most High, you can't just be up under your type of people. You got to venture out. So tonight, it's the Egyptologist night. Tonight is those that have studied Luxor. You one of those purpose, you went to Luxor and you have a certain angle, you're going to be able to share your angle in a second. All right, we shared two clips. We got two more to go. After that, you can talk about whatever. But I want people to hear the voice of what generally we hear when we hear these Egyptologists, as I call them. Okay, I want them to hear about the horse, like we played earlier about Christ in Egypt, the Horus connection. I'm about to play another one called Horus and the 12 Tribes. And after that one, we're going to talk about Amun-Ra. So just hold on. These clips are very short, but I want to get this fact out there and let the people hear this is what's being said. And they're saying this is proof and that is proof. I want people to hear what is the proof. How do they know? Where are they getting this information from? You heard the brother earlier say, have you studied this? He said, have you studied that? He said, now this is proof. Now that don't make it proof because you say this is proof. What is your proof? Just because you study something, you get a revelation of it, that don't mean that's proof. We're going to talk about what is proof, what is evidence, what makes things solid. When can you say this is proof? When can you say that? We're going to talk about that. Then we're going to talk about what the Brother Joseph has to say. You, we're going to listen to what you have to share, and we're going to listen to your proof. We're going to talk about what actually is evidence. When do you walk away and say, you know what, that's the truth, whether I like it or not, that's the truth? We got to be careful with saying, well, that's common sense. What is common sense? When do you know if you heard from the Most High? How do you know things that are true? How do you really know what's true? We're going to talk about that. But Brother Joseph, please hold your horses. Let me play these two more clips today. No more than 11 minutes. Both of them combined is not even 11 minutes. So let me finish this, and we'll hear from you and this revelation you've got when you went to the Luxor, okay? Please. All right, folks, this is the name of this clip. It's called Horus.
Indeed, it is true that the ubiquitous number 12, concurrent to numerous ideologies, persists to this day. And indeed, the true meaning of such an actuality has been suppressed and hidden within the myth of time. The number 12 in reality is a reference to the 12 hours of the day, the 12 months of the year, or the 12 zodiacal signs. Such number has been associated with such a conceptual image since antiquity. Exodus 39:9-14 reads, quote, "They made the breastplate, and they set it in four rows of stones, and the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to the 12 tribes," unquote. Josephus comments upon this in his Antiquities, quote, "And for the 12 stones, whether we understand by them the months, or whether we understand the like number of the signs of that circle which the Greeks call the zodiac, we shall not be mistaken by their meaning," unquote. Philo also made the same observation regarding Moses, earlier than Josephus, in fact. Quote, "Then the 12 stones on the breast, which are not like one another in color, and which are divided into four rows of 3 stones each, what else can they be emblems of, except the circle of the zodiac?" Unquote. Such an association is by no means new, as some would have you believe. In fact, Church Father Irenaeus had to publicly object to the Gnostic notion that the apostles were merely symbolical for the eons, which have been asserted to be the signs of the zodiac. Church Father Clement of Alexandria earlier asserted that, according to the Valentinian Gnostics, quote, "The apostles replace the signs of the zodiac, for as birth is governed by them, so rebirth is directed by the apostles," unquote. Such an early association is too pertinent to be ignored, and one must remember this as the discussion continues. Like so many other godmen, Horus too had 12 disciples, followers, accomplices, or helpers. In the Pyramid and Coffin texts, we find frequent references to Horus and his Ennead, or Aeneas, which isn't always connotative of 9 gods. On the contrary, such a term can be representative of 12 gods, as Horsley remarks. Quote, "The Aeneid does not necessarily include 9 gods, as strange as that may seem. We have lists of the gods that include up to 12, unquote. However, such assertions may be regarded as vague and less direct. So instead of focusing on what a text may be asserting, let's take a look at a more explicit incident in which Horus is unquestionably portrayed as with 12 followers. The Book of Amduat was compiled around the time of the New Kingdom, thus around 1,000 years before Christianity's inception. The book portrayed as the sun's 12-hour journey through the night, only to return on the eastern horizon in the morning. Much like Hercules' 12 labors, the book is comprised of 12 hours of the night, with Amduat meaning the netherworld or underworld. In the 7th hour of the Book of Amduat, Horus is depicted on his throne with 12 star gods in front of him. Regarding this hour, Bud remarks, quote, "On the right of the boat of Ahura, and facing it, are Horus and 12 gods of the hours, who protect the tombs of Osiris and assist Ra in his journey," unquote. Thus the 12 followers of Horus are also protectors of Osiris and helpers of Ra, who aid him in his journey across the sky. Baedeker also made the same inference in regards to the 7th hour, in elucidating, quote, "Horus, before whom are 12 star gods who conduct the sun at night," unquote. Indeed, Horus even names this chapter, quote, "Horus enthroned before the 12," unquote. Furthering this theme of the sun god being helped or aided by the 12 is in the Book of Caverns, which dates from around the 13th century BCE. Here we find the exact same theme of the sun god being towed in his boat by 12 other gods, or 12 assistants, who each represent the 12 hours of the night, or the zodiac, as previously outlined. In the Egyptian mythos, it was said that at night, when the sun vanished in the western horizon, the sun god sailed in his boat to the east to return in the morning, whence we find Ra or Horus in a boat. Let us return to the Book of Amduat, in which we find a further association of Horus with 12 others. In the 10th hour, Horus is depicted as leaning on his staff, which incidentally will be brushed upon later when covering Horus' epithet as the Good Shepherd.
and leading the 12 deceased to their salvation. Interestingly enough, Horst is said to lead those lost souls to a, quote, posthumous existence, unquote, as Hornung puts it, which is not too dissimilar from those who believe in Jesus reaping eternal life. Thus, Horst is the saviour and leader of the 12 followers, unquestionably. The Book of Gates is another pre-Christian source, much like the Book of Amduat, in that it portrays the sun's journey at night through 12 gates, representing the nighttime hours. Incidentally, the sun god is frequently portrayed as with 12 others, such as in the third hour, of which Budge declares, quote, on the right hand of the boat of the god are 12 holy gods of the Tuat, each in his shrine.
Let's turn this down for a second. Brother Joseph, can you hear this pretty clear?
The fourth hour increases.
Brother Joseph? I'm going to stop this clip, everybody. The reason why is I can barely understand. I don't think y'all can understand it. I'm going to go to one that's a lot more clear. Brother Joseph, are you there?
Brother, I don't know why you don't want to let me go ahead to let me do the thing.
Brother
I
Joseph,
got
Brother Joseph, you got to respect the rules of this show, man. I just got through saying that we can't do that. You got to respect it. No matter how bad you want something, you got to respect
no.
Oh, I mean,
no,
I know
brother.
What you're saying. Hold on. It's people
trying to
waiting, chimed in, and we got to stay on focus. We can't just do something because you want to do it. You got to respect what I'm trying to do here. It's bad if you think it needs to be said. Now, in a minute, I'll let you share, and maybe if we have time, we'll probably bring it on. Hold on a second. Somebody wants to comment or has a question or comment. Just 1 second. Error code 510590. Go ahead with your question or comment.
I can't hear your clip. It's not clear. And you might as well let the brother play his clip. And the arguing, you guys are coming across like a comedy show right now.
Okay, Colin, well, I hear you on that.
I got some hat here. You know, the whole thing is acknowledged.
Hold on, let me make sure he don't have any more comments, and we'll put him on hold. Do you have any more to say on that, brother? I appreciate the comment. He just hung up. Makes you wonder, okay, what's his real motive? All right, well, let's do this, Brother Joseph. I got one more clip. It's 4 minutes long, and I know it's clear. And then after that, I'm going to let you play your clip. I hope that folks can hear that clip you got. I just hope. Because we don't have time to be saying, okay, move the phone a little closer. So let's go ahead and play this one last clip. And like I say, please, man, respect the rules of the show. Please, Brother Joseph.
True,
okay, this
true.
Is Orin of Age.
To show how ancient Egypt and its religions permeates the Old and the New Testament, here are some examples. During the rule of the Egyptian pharaoh Akhenaten came an important religious change. Pharaoh Akhenaten was a very important pharaoh. He single-handedly changed the worship in Egypt from the worship of many gods to the worship of just one god in particular and to the exclusion of all other gods. The name of this god was Re. Pharaoh Akhenaten established that from now on there is only one god, the sun, and his full name is Amen-Ren, spelled A-M-E-N-R-A. The pharaoh said that when he prayed to God, you must pray through the Son of God, Amen-Ren, because he represented God. And at the end of the prayer, in the ancient temples of Egypt, they would say, Amen. In the scriptures, Jesus said, if your eye be single, then there will be light in you. This single eye was the symbol of Amen-Ren, and the eye was always within the circle, the sun, the eye of God. There are at least three different places in the Bible where Jesus is referred to as the chief cornerstone that the builders rejected. For instance, in Ephesians 2:20, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And this is very important. Ask any architect or anyone who knows anything about the terminology of architecture, ask them, where do you find a chief cornerstone? Now, you can find an ordinary cornerstone at the top of a building or at the bottom. But where do you find a chief cornerstone? A chief cornerstone is translated from the Greek word meaning the peak of a pyramid, or the capstone. Why the peak of a pyramid, you may ask? All you have to do is look at the back of an American dollar bill, where you will find a pyramid with the chief cornerstone separated from the pyramid. But what is perhaps even more interesting is that on the American dollar bill, within the separated cornerstone, is the eye of Horus, the all-seeing eye of Iusus, the son of God, the eye of Re, that we pray to and say, Amen. In Isaiah 19:19, God says to his people, In that day there shall be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. In other words, in the middle of Egypt, there will be an altar to the Lord. Well, in the very middle of Egypt stands Cheops, the great pyramid, exactly in the middle. Amazing? Yes. But even more so when you consider that it had already been sitting there for 3,000 years before the Bible was written. In John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life to the sheep. In John 10:14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. In the book of Hebrews 13:20, Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of his sheep. In the book of Revelation 12:5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And in Revelation 19:15, and he shall rule the nation with a rod of iron. Well, we've now established that Jesus is the good shepherd who shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. The Pharaoh was referred to as the good shepherd. The people, the royal household, and the religious household of Egypt were called in Egyptian the shepherd's fold. Pharaoh, being the representative of Iusus, the son of God, was called the great shepherd who looked after the shepherd's fold. The Pharaoh was considered to be the incarnation of Amen-Re, who ruled for God on earth. And that is where we get the idea that there would be an earthly kingdom. And the Pharaoh was the king of the kingdom.
Short and sweet. Now, Brother Joseph, before you jump in here, let me just say this real quick. Again, short and sweet clip. I tried to find the shortest clip because I know people wanted to comment on what they was going to hear that was so seemingly offensive against their most believers in the States. Now, a couple things I want to point out here. It's amazing how people will see something in ancient times and say that's where we get this from out of the Bible. They'll see this, that's where we get this out of the Bible. And I don't know what make these people think that folks is just that gullible, just to believe. Let me take a point, case in point. He talked about the eye of God, the all-seeing eye. I'd like to first of all find out where these people got that. And second of all, it's like once, let me back up. I'll prove that point by proving the more clearer point. He talked about the good shepherd, and he says that Pharaoh, one of the Pharaohs were referred to as a good shepherd, and that's where we get this, where Christ was supposed to be the good shepherd. Can there not be more than one good shepherd? Can it be, I look at the good shepherd almost like somebody saying so-and-so is a good guy. They probably said that billions of times over time. Why is the phrase good shepherd got to mean that everybody that used it borrowed it from the Pharaoh? Brother Joseph, you there?
I'm here, brother. So I'm just trying to get to the good.
Well, just hold your horses and just, you know, let's just deal with where we at and we'll do with you. You can't just have your little ball and want to just play with that. But what I'm saying Hold on. What I'm saying is, I think it's interesting how this guy who comes off as this authoritative figure, most of these Egyptologists do that. They come off as they really got something solid, and they'll say, the Pharaoh said this, or it's written in the hieroglyphics, this and that. And then this is what Christianity get there from saying this or from doing that. This has its origin in Egypt times. But my point is, if you really follow, I'm telling y'all, if you follow this trail, if you take these people up, go and do the research, you will find out a lot of these folks just talking. Assumption. And to me,
Well, if I got a whole lot of people just saying something,
better come on, brother. We wasted time there. Come on now. Come on now.
Brother Joe, okay, hold on. Hold on, let me get out.
Stay up now. Try to spark this thing up.
Hold on. You got 45 minutes. We got plenty of time.
Okay.
All I'm saying is, people, I want y'all heard four clips.
I don't listen
to
them.
One clip. Hold on, Brother Joseph.
Ain't proven nothing.
Hold on. I'm going to put you on hold if we can't get this show going on here. What I'm saying is, Brother Joseph has got something very hot to share, and we're going to listen to him. But what I'm saying is, I want y'all to note how a lot of these so-called archaeologists, scholars, Egyptologists, whatever they call themselves, listen for this phrase when they say this is the proof, or here is evidence, or we have evidence of this, or the scrolls. They'll say this suggests that. Listen for these phrases, and really listen. It's kind of crazy that they take people for granted and to be fools. Now, on the other hand, you have a belief system called the Bible, you know, and we got these prophecies. To me, that's what set the Bible apart from all these other religions. That's what make people stick more to the scriptures, because you got living scriptures, rhema word, that comes alive, that's in your face, that says, you do this, I'll do that. The Most High put, I don't know, I forget the account, I used to know, but there's thousands of promises. They call them precious promises, where if you would do this, this will happen. If you would do this, this will happen. There are billions of people that have tested those promises and have come and said, I did this, and this is what happened to me, and I didn't even know it was going to happen. So all I'm saying is, who do you put your faith in? I'm going to let you go ahead and share, Brother Joseph, because I feel a little rushed, but I really want to nail that down. I can really go on that point I was talking about. So go ahead with what you have to say, Brother Joseph.
Okay. My point in short, before I put this on, my point is, man, is to prove without a shadow of a doubt, man, that I can't follow that Bible. Them the same people that had my ass in the boat. They don't want to tell me who I am, so I have to go and dig and dig and dig myself on my turf. We was the ones that was living in Armonia. We was the ones that was behind Akhenaten. I'm telling you, brother, from Armonia, your black ass been on the run ever since. That's cut and dry. These people don't have no religion. They don't have nothing. That's why they keep coming down that way. Now civilization at now. They don't
when
want
you say
you to
these
know
people, who are you talking about when you say these people?
Who you think running the media, the publishing houses, the music industry?
No, don't quiz me. Who is it? Get to the chase and finish your point. Who are they?
The Zionist Jew and his minions, all that helping him, that Zionist agenda. You don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. They got too much power. And here's 2012, and these Negroes still, man, look, these people that's still laughing at this black man, because he ain't learned nothing yet. He's still in that Bible, and it's the same Bible that, man, I just got so much of a burning desire to say what I got to say, but my mind is moving 50,000 miles per hour like a spaceship. But I'm telling you, the enemy is in that Bible. That's who put that Bible together. I told you, my books is sealed. He can't give me nothing on my faith or belief system. I come from out of Armonia. Ain't no such thing.
Keep in mind, there's 7 billion people on this planet. Most of them are non-white. According to the United Nations, 8% of the planet is 8% of the planet is so-called Caucasian. You're looking at 92% of the planet that's non-white. Everybody can come out of Armenia. Dark-skinned people, it's too many of them to just come out of Armenia or wherever you want to.
I'm not talking about them other people, Gus. I'm talking about the people that came over here on ships. I'm talking about this Akhenaten. This is where you got Moses from. they went far as to tell you that a Red Sea split it. They just went to Hollywood on us with this Bible stuff. That's all. So let me put this on now, brother. Everything gonna work out real fine. It's in the game.
Put it on, man. Put it on. And before you put it on, why are you putting it on? What do you mean, Armani? Because I wanna look into that. I'm familiar with Luxor, but pronounce it or spell it for me where I can do my research. I'm familiar with Luxor, but you throw it to my money. I'm not familiar.
I'm gonna get it to you, but not right now.
It ain't me. Hold on. When I say me, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about people that listen to you, and they don't know what you're talking about. You got to. This ain't just between me and you. People are listening and saying, what do you mean, Armani? I want to go research that. Maybe he's right. Maybe he's on to something. What are you talking about, Armani?
I'm going to spell it to you. Armani is between Cairo and Luxor. When Akhenaten left that region of Luxor, went on up to Armenia. That's between Cairo and here go the spelling. The spelling is A-M-A-N-I-A-N Armenia. I mean, Armenia. You got that?
Got it.
Okay.
Now you went slow enough. I wrote it down.
Okay. That's between Cairo and Luxor. And see, if Negroes would get up off their backside and go somewhere, they would have a revolution kick off in their head. They wouldn't need to read another book. They wouldn't need to listen to this, to that. Cut the power.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying, brother. It's time to put that Bible down, man. That's their seal. My salvation don't lie in that book.
Listen, I'm going to say this one more time, then we're going to listen to your clip because I'm anxious to hear what you got to play. I'm going to say this one more time about the book.
Okay.
The book is older than these people. The book is older than the Caucasian, okay? The book is older than Europe. When the book was wrote, there wasn't no white people in no north place called no Europe. I don't even think black people called Grimaldi. Hold on. I don't even think the black people, or we don't even call them black people. They wouldn't call no black people, but the dark-skinned, dust-colored people that was called Grimaldi was in Europe then. I think that was even before their time. So how you can credit these folks with the Bible is a gross error. You're losing points with that.
We're going to break it down, but we're going to put the tape on.
That in Tennis, there is a place in the Greek called Necropolis. It is the place of the dead. So after Alexander the Greek came down around 335 BCE, and after he died, and his successor, Ptolemy, Soltar, and Soltar means savior. And what Ptolemy wanted was an image of himself to be made. After several years, the Chemites, they said, no, we will not do this. So he winds up, you know, finally finding someone to do it, you know, some of the craftsmen. So they molded him an image of himself. This image, they needed a name for this image. And so after studying, you know, down in Tennis for some time, Ptolemy said, with the other Coptic, you know, because there was Coptic Egyptians, Coptic Ethiopians, you know, that made up, you know what I mean, the center, you know, that was really left after some of us had went into captivity. So he asked them, you know, about this name, you know what I mean, that they can come up with. And so they picked two names of two high gods that was in Kemet and made them simultaneously one. He took substance, spiritual substance, if you will, from Osiris and from Apis, the bull. And so they came up with the name of the deity, which was first called Osiris. Later on, by the time you get down to around the 300s A.D., it had become known as Serapis. Now, once when Serapis became to be the deity, and mind you, I don't care what nobody tells you, they have no evidence until Serapis came that there was no white deity. Get it out of your mind that Greek, that the Greek people had a culture and a civilization, because in order to have culture and civilization, you had to have language. They didn't have a written language. They had to come down to us, and we made them a written language. Understand it. These are keys that you'll need. I'm going to give you so many keys today, brothers and sisters, that a baby born this morning will be able to understand exactly the answer to the question that I'm posing today. Now, after some time, this image, Serapis, and you could Google this information and just say Serapis Christian. And what you will find is that the so-called Christians, you will find in history that these people they didn't worship no Jesus. They worshiped something called Serapis Christos, which later on in your English Bible, what you will have as a Jesus Christ. There was no man. Understand me clearly when I say this, and I have the evidence to prove it, and there is. And I'm going to tell you this. This is important for you to know, that there is no scholar, no theologian, no archaeologist, nobody that could prove to you that there was a man born 2,000 years ago by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. There was no such person. You have to understand that this is key. You would never come out of your condition until you know what's the name that keeps you in a sleep-like state. You have to know this. So by saying this, I'm a going through this and get to the answer to this question. There is 64 missing years. They told you in your history books that the first wave came over to America in the year 1619, Jamestown, Virginia. Absolutely incorrect, because unless they took it down, you could go to the New York Public Library, the main branch, and go up to the top floor. On the top floor there, you will find the oldest slave record. It's of a Sir John Hawkins. April 1555, it gives a small slave record of the names of slaves and the name of his ship that he brought them over on. And he brought them over on a ship called the Good Ship Jesus. Understand that. So in the slave spiritual, you would have songs. You could take the whole world, but just give me Jesus. What was they talking about? They were talking about the ship, brothers and sisters, that they needed to back. Because they, no matter how much we rebelled, no matter how much we did things, we could not do anything because we didn't have any chips. And so we used to look far and be like, man, we can't swim 9,000 miles to go back home. Those of us that actually made it here to the shores of America. That's important to know. Now, in the 64 missing years, so from about 1555 up to 1619, you had 64 missing years, see? And so there used to be a TV show in the 1950s. It was called the $64,000 Question. Now, in science and in masonry, they want to ask you, what's the $64,000 question? This is it. Who, or I would say, what is the identity or nationality of the former slaves that came to America? Because if you know the $64,000 question, then you will be able to understand what happened to these people, why the world was jealous of these people, and the people can actually have a resurrection, a resuscitation, because the spiritual teachings now have to be breathed into them so they can become stand up on a living square and perpendicular. And so also so they can have a restoration, meaning they can be restored back to their former glory. Until the former slaves of the triangular slave trade or the transatlantic slave trade understand exactly who they are and stop with redeeming themselves, because everybody knows, if you go from Garvey all the way down to my time right now, a good 110 years, we've been called Negro, nigger, colored people, African American, Afro American, Black American. Man, this is crazy. We even have fought to get the N capital or Negro in the encyclopedia. You know that you are a lost person when you have to fight your former oppressor in order to have the N capitalized on Negro. And Negro, we understand it has roots to Negro, which means black, or and getting into the Latin and the Spanish is Negro. It means black. It's an adjective. It's used to describe something. But black is not what you call a people. In the beautiful words of John Clark, he said that all of this Afrocentric stuff and this black consciousness stuff is foolery. Because where's black land? Where's black language? What's a black nationality? There is none. He said, you are a people within a nation of a people that looking for their nationality. And once when you find that nationality, can't nobody stop you? Can't nobody put any laws against you? Because then you will be able to claim that which is yours. And you will stand upon your history, your culture, your language, and you will live and dwell in your own land. So we have all these groups, and they're saying, what's our nationality? Or some will say, oh, we're Moors, or we're Hebrews, or we're Christians, and we're Muslims, and we're all sorts of things. Let me tell you something, and I'm going to end it once and for all. I don't care what anybody tells you, send them to me. And we'll debate that. I'll tell you this. Do I leave wrong? Elijah Muhammad was wrong. Farrakhan is wrong. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you, they absolutely won't. The people that came in the whole of the ship, no matter what other African tribes we mixed with, the people that came across the transatlantic was driven across from East Africa to West Africa to become in the whole of the ship and to become slaves. Period. We come from East Africa. We come from all civilization begins, and that is the Nile River. Anything other than we being the descendants of Nubians, Ethiopians, and Egyptians, that in those three geographical areas of Egypt, the Sudan, and Ethiopia, that was Upper and Lower Kemet. Nubia was the dividing point where it separates the north and the south because it's the mother. As Ethiopia is the father, the land of the gods. From there, that is the beginning of our civilization. Dr. Yosef Ben Yakana, what it's all done is said, it's all the and talking about you Asiatic, all that came later. Fine, we was Asiatic, we was Muslims, we was Moors. What was you originally before these people came and conquered you? What was you before Muslims came and messed with you? You can't say that Islam was on the planet previously before 7th century A.D. because it wasn't. You know how you know? Okay. In the history of Prophet Muhammad sent a letter to all the kings of the world. You know one of those nations he sent a letter to? Ethiopia. So Ethiopia's in Africa, right? And he sent also the letter to Egypt. And he said that he is you know, unless you want him to come and conquer you, that he wants everybody to submit to his religion of Islam. That tells you right there, before the 7th century A.D., we was not Muslim. That's a lie. That's an Arab religion. Give it back to the Arabs. Leave it there. Don't touch that. It is like poison to you. It literally, anything that is not your own culture, your religion, your sciences, your language, your mathematics, your architecture, anything that separates you from what was yours in the beginning, that now valid civilization, anything other than that, is something, a false God that is not real. There's a technology of those gods because they're not real. They were made up in the mind of men to control you. And this is what those three religions do, especially the monotheistic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. This is what it does to you. It has you sacrifice, it has you praying, and it has you worshiping. It usurps your energy, your time. It leaves you in a state of confusion. Who can debate with me on the fact that you will not be confused? That if you look at our people, they're confused. You know why they mainly confused? Three religions. Four. The Hebrews, they're meeting right now. Confusion. The Christians, the Muslims, the black Muslims, and the Muslims, it's going to meet tomorrow. Mass confusion. And they generally meet between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. Mass confusion. So when we get out of there, ain't no unity. There can't be no unity. Why? Because one God may say you should do this. Another God may say you should do that. Another leader may say you should do this. Another leader may say you got to do that. It's all mass confusion. But it has nothing to do with your culture, your history, your language, your architecture, that which belongs to you, brothers and sisters. So let's end this conversation today on this issue about why we can't unite. We can't unite because we're ignorant. the truth. We can accept all other philosophies except what I own. But here, you got Kenneth. You got, and I'm talking about Uncle and Lord Kenneth. And from out of Egypt, going all the way down into Nubia, going into Ethiopia. Ethiopia is mainly more populated. But if you look at the rest of the area, it lays desolate of its people. Desolate means there's nothing there. It lays desolate of its people. That should give you a clue where you come from. The other African nations, no wonder they don't like us. It's because of who we are. Everybody knows the secret except but us. They can't tell you the secret. White folks can't tell you the secret. Because then that means that they cannot rule. Because all civilization began in the Nile Valley. It didn't begin in Asia. It didn't begin in Mesopotamia. It began in the Nile Valley. You have to understand that. It begins in the Nile Valley. I can't make it any plainer. All your historians, it validates the point. Matter of fact, if all culture and all mathematics and everything didn't begin in the Nile Valley civilization, then why would white scientists tell you that the oldest that was found in the world is found in Egypt. You know what else found in Ethiopia? World's oldest ruler. Got little marks on it and everything. Combs, hairs, everything. Even light bulbs and stuff like that is on the walls of tents. Yeah, do you know how advanced that was? Well, let me something for my that is in the biblical. If you could turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, outside the first verse, and it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones, and he caused me to pass by them round about." Mind you, he was in the middle. "And behold, there were many in an open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me again, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath into you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bones to his bones. And when I beheld, and lo, the sinews of the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. And he said unto me, Prophesy into the wind. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up to their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your grave and cause you to come up out of your grave and bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your grave, O my people. people and brought you up out of your grave, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I am the Lord that has spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. All right. Anytime you see Israel in the book, that means that that's the house of Akhenaten or Amarna. The Amarnians is what this is talking about, because we were the only ones, mind you. We were the people that was taken out of Nile civilization, because we had built up Akhenaten in the reign of Akhenaten. And so you had Ethiopians, you had Nubians, and you had other branches of the Egyptian people. We all came together, and we formed one consolidated society of people in the city of Akhenaten, and we began what we call a solar order. The world has been against us ever since that time, and we've been on the run. We've been down in Ethiopia. We've been in Canaan. We've been all over the place. We've been split up. We've been going all over the world. But 500 years ago, now let's get to the subject. 500 years ago, when we came in the whole system, if it goes off the air, that means that we'd be streaming live, and we're running a little bit over, but stay on the line with me. Okay. Okay. Now the subject today we have is why can't Black America unite, or why Black America can't unite. The reason why is because we was robbed of our culture, of our moral values, of our history, of our land, of our nationality. And through this, what I mean by culture, that which you, of course, a culture is also a heritage, which you will be able to pass on to your children. It's something that will recognize you from all other peoples on the planet. Now, you may say, how is it possible then that we are the actual descendants of ancient Egyptians? Now, we're just not descendants of just Egyptians, because anybody could be Egyptian, anybody could be Nubian, anybody could be Ethiopian if you live in a geographical area of those places. But when you say that you are descendants of ancient Egyptians, ancient Nubians, and ancient Ethiopians, what that would mean then is that your DNA would be the match for your DNA of your ancestors that they're pulling up out of the grave and then display to the whole world. Our DNA matched that. We're not from Asia. So the idea that we're Asiatic, sorry, before there was Asiatic, we was already down in Kemet doing our thing. We're the ones that gave civilization to the world. This is no myth. This is actual fact. Before India was ever kicked off, you had Krishna and some of those other gods. They had to come down into Kemet and learn. The Buddha had to come down. Besides, we going across all the world, and when we navigated the seas, and we went everywhere, and we left our mark. We all up in Asia. You call us the Niga. And what was our sign? The sign of the Negus was a cobra. We have left our mark everywhere. We've been there, done that. See? And so they was envious with us. See? So what happened, brothers and sisters, is that some time ago, you know, we need to go ahead and quash the Yaqub theory of Elijah Muhammad and all these other people, because white people come from black people. And we might as well just stop lying and just tell the truth. White people come from black people. We birthed people that is called albino. Albino is nothing more than light skinned black people. See, what makes them more paler is because they went up, we kicked them out of society because they had more this leprous skin. You know what I mean? And since they were plagued with leprosy, You know, that was the people that's plagued with leprosy. You can even find this science right in your Bible. That people that's plagued with leprosy, they're cursed. They basically are set out of society because their family lineage had went against the laws of God. So that means that these people transgressed the laws of Ma'at. And so because they did it so much, they transgressed so much that their blood had became tainted. And so when they birthed children, they birthed them leprous. This occurs even with black people today. I know for a fact because, they're not giving off this or anything like that, but I know people that is very, very, perverse. And so when she had these children, she had them, and they. Definitely, they was leprous. You know, some of them had like reddish hair, stuff like that. So the DNA actually becomes altered by thinking and doing things while the child is in the womb or at the time of birth. So it all matters on what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? And so what happened is that, you know, they birthed the children. I'm telling you, they grown there right now. They ain't working there. Sorry, they'll never be. They were born perverse. So even in African society today, when these people is born, what do? They shut them out of society. They put them off to the side. And so when they put them off to the side, you know what I mean? When they did this some time ago, when they gathered themselves up, and we kicked them out. Some of them remained in a place called Canaan. Now Canaan. If you look in your Bible,
Joseph.
Canaan was cursed.
Brother
Canaan
Joseph.
It was cursed. Ham, the Hamite, is all people.
That's up.
Yeah, can you pause that? Can you hold that up?
Okay.
I must admit I enjoyed it, brother, especially with this leprosy piece, because, you know, I've been teaching that for a while about the whole leprosy. I show a little bit probably more love than he do, but. Yes, I do believe that all people come from dust-colored people. Well, you don't call them black people. They're just people with pigmentation. So
yeah.
I agree with him on the end. But you know what's funny? He quotes the Bible there at the – hold on. We got to comment. We got to talk about it. We only got 8 minutes left, okay? But I heard what he was saying. He was saying some strong things against Judaism. But what was weird, I thought it was really weird, that he would go and use the Bible at the very end and quote it verse by verse. So in one minute he's saying he don't believe in Judaism and the 12 tribes and that black people are not Israel. But then at the same time he uses the law that was given to the people of Israel as to how to determine what leprosy was, which the word leprosy or leprous is nothing more than skin that's not covered. You know, it's that clear. It's just skin
that we got.
Not, huh?
It's the only thing we got, brother.
We've been tied down for 500 years, so we got. What I want you to see, Brother Joseph, you just got through saying earlier, we need to put the Bible down. That Bible got us all confused. That Bible this, that Bible that. And the very person you said out of your mouth, I got a clip for you, and this guy I recommend. You didn't recommend the clips I played earlier.
Well,
you said, hold on, Brother Joseph. People are listening to you. Intelligent people is on the phone lines in the chat room, and they hear you. And when you say you need to put that
all I'm saying, brother, when I said put that Bible down, I mean put it down. Get your faith away from it. Get your belief away from it. If you're going to pick that Bible up, you're getting ready to knock somebody upside the head with it. That's all I'm saying. But far as you have a belief system, no. That's all I wanted to say. So we got to use this book the best way we can.
We ain't got nothing. Brother Joseph, when you believe
yes.
in what this guy is doing, when you say this brother I like, that's a belief system. So this business is get away from your belief.
No,
sister.
Hold on a second.
It's a fact. That's a fact. Ain't no belief system. This ain't got nothing to do with no belief system. I don't have a belief system. How can I be tied in for 500 years, then wake up all of a sudden and have a belief system? No, it don't work like that.
Listen, what I'm sharing with you, Brother Joseph, is this. This is why I have issues with a lot of so-called Egyptologists.
Oh, let the brother on the line, let the brother on the line that's trying to get on, brother, up, then we can go, you know.
What brother on the line? Anybody, nobody on the phone line with their hand up. Anybody want to comment on what we've heard? Please press 1. You're more than welcome to chime you in. Okay, anybody on the phone lines that have a question or a comment about what I'm saying, yay or nay for it, let me know. It's very important, okay? We're winding down. We got 5 minutes left in this show, and I really do want to hear from other people. The phone lines, I don't see a question yet, so I guess everybody is just sitting and observing and learning. But here's what I wanted to share with you. People get on my nerve with this. 1 minute, they want to say, we're from Kemet. We're from it. I understand black people in America is from Africa, but I think everybody's from Africa. Now, notice how at the end he said white people come from black people. So if white people come from black people and black people come from Africa, why are we saying they doing this, they doing that? Yeah, I do believe that the Caucasians, after they went up north from us, they're nothing more than us. It ain't no them and us. They are us. We are them. We're the same humans. God put two people in that garden, I believe, made them from the dust of the earth, covered them with this dirt that we call melanin. Same properties in melanin is in the dirt. And there were people that lost. Hold on, Brother Joseph. Please. They lost pigmentation, end up going up north. We call them albinos. Albinos begin to mix. This genetic thing is real. White people teach this. This is not, it don't mean it's right because they teach it, but I'm just saying, we all agree with the albino and the genetics that the black genes is dominant, all this stuff. That's basic science. What I'm saying is they come from us. They come from the same Africa. They come from the same Nile.
But
it's really funny. It's really funny how people try to own the Nile and throw white people out in the bucket. I mean, yes, I agree that Europe has done some horrible things, but Europe is a baby. It ain't even a real player in the game. I mean, at the end, yes, it's glorious.
Yeah,
it's powerful. It's ruling the world.
Hey, brother, we got to worry about healing ourselves, man. We at the end of something, and we don't know how the help going to come, if the help going to come. Don't worry about this white man. I'm worried about me. I've been tied there for 500 years, man. I can't even trace my blood back 3 generations.
Brother Joseph?
Yeah.
You cut off kind of abruptly there.
Oh, I don't know what happened.
All I'm saying to you, what I'm saying to you, Brother Joseph, is this. We've got to be very sincere and strong. Our doctrines have got to be soundproof. And when somebody comes on the air and start dogging out the Bible, then turn around and use the Bible, you begin to wonder, okay, is the book, see, what I say the Bible's flawed. I do think there is books missing. I do. I say that. I do think books have been tampered with. But I think anything of value is going to go through that. That's why Christ give us something that can't be tampered with, and that is the Spirit. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. I want you to just give me a minute here, please. What I'm saying is,
say this wise on my mind before I forget.
You can't play that. Hold on. You got to write. We got to have an intellectual conversation. You can't become an I'm going to forget. Go ahead, man.
We don't have nothing. Not nothing. We've been over here 500 years. I keep saying the same thing. We don't have nothing. We don't even know who we is, what we is.
Speak for yourself.
Exactly. And, brother Self, you in the same boat.
Let me tell you something about me.
No,
I look at us as
always trying to save the world.
Hold on, man. Hold on a second. Hold on one second. Hold on, please.
what I'm saying, Brother Joe. And what I'm saying is, I see a people. They were brought to a land in slave ships. I see a people that had wives, but another nation came and slept with that nation, with that nation's wives. All these are prophecies. Every one of these things I'm saying is a prophecy. I see a nation. Hold on a second, man. You got to speak for yourself. You say we've been locked down 500 years. Okay, let me tell you something, man. You're saying that's how you feel. I don't believe nothing. Listen, man. Brother Joe, if I have to keep talking over you, I'm just going to have to mute you. I just give me about 3 minutes of talk, and I'll give you 3 minutes. Come on, man. We got to move along. What I'm saying is, when I look at so-called black people as a nation, and I look at Deuteronomy 28, where Moses says Israel. He's talking to the 12 tribes. He tells them what they're going to go through if they obey, and he tells them what they're going to go through if they disobey. When I look at all of those prophecies, those characteristics, those things that is going to happen, curses if they obey, if they disobey, blessings. When I look at the curses and the blessings, I see a people. Very clear, very in your face, hardcore proof that is living out those ancient thousand-year-old prophecies. And I believe those people are indeed one of the lost tribes of Israel. Now, you can say you don't know who you are, you've been strapped down 500 years, don't have this, we ain't got nothing. That's all you talking. And that's the guy who was just talking earlier. That's y'all talking. Yes, I know we all come from Africa. Yes, I know we all come from Africa. Yes, I know there was great, great civilization that would make these civilizations, it might make us look like cavemen. And I believe that. I believe in my spirit that Egypt has been lied about. That's why I did this show. I know beyond a shadow of doubt that our civilization cannot touch that civilization because everything we invent, it seems like it killed half the population just to get it on the market. So what's technology if it's killing you? They had technology that wasn't killing you. So I my hat goes off to Egypt. My hat goes off to Ethiopia. That's why I went to Ethiopia. So I'm with you. But I don't know if because it was such a glorious past that we can start saying that the black man is not the Israelite. People left from Africa and went different places. The Most High called people out of Africa, and they became different people. There was the Tower of Babel. That scattered people. So, yes, we all come from Africa, but Abraham was called into a land called Israel today. And we are his descendants, but those descendants, everybody come from Africa. So what the brother is saying is true, that we all come from Africa, but that's the whole planet. Why are you going to stay in Africa when we left mama's house and we went and moved out New York? We moved out here, we moved there, we moved there. We just say we're from New York, but really we are from Africa. We say we're from America, but we're from all Africa. We say we're from Europe, but we're from all from Africa. That's all we're saying. I don't think nobody's saying they're not from Africa. So I don't get his point. They're saying you're Hebrew. You're from Africa. We know that. I don't get it.
We now know who Moses was. We now know Jesus. This Jesus stuff didn't even exist. All that stuff came right out of Ethiopia. Some people wrote that, and the white folks carried it further. We know the whole thing came from old Kemet. Why is you still in this book like this, Brussel? They know. They try to compare Moses to Akhenaten. Why? Why are you still fighting this?
You don't get it. I'm just not saying the way you want me to say it, and you're trying to say I'm fighting it. I done told you everybody is from Africa. Everybody. If you on this planet, you have your roots in Africa. Everybody. But
all I'm saying,
people.
All I'm saying, brother, the whole biblical story came from Akhenaten, the whole Exodus and everything.
Well, let's do this. Let me do something. I hardly ever do this on this show. Let's get some others' opinion. Folks,
yes.
I really don't want to do this because I respect people's privacy. So let me just get some other comments. Somebody may want to say, you know, so if you volunteer to comment on what we're saying, please press 1. Because sometimes brothers and I kind of come to this stalemate here. So please press 1 if you want to comment or have a question for us. Those of you in the chat room, if you can do the same, comment. But otherwise, I'm going to just pick on some people. Actually, the brother earlier that suggested that we he couldn't hear into hear your video, I'm going to see if he'd mind commenting on it. Erico 510590, the brother that originally said that you couldn't hear, how do you think, do you mind sharing any comments of what you've heard so far? Area code 510-590, do you care to comment on what you've heard so far? His button is not lighting up. I don't think he can hear me. Area code 336-310, love to know your question or comment about what you've heard so far. Area code 336-310, love to know your question or comment of what you've heard so far.
Bruh, Seth?
Yes.
Ed, this is Victim to Victorious. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay, my brother. I apologize. I kind of don't like doing that, but every once in a while when we have these shows where we kind of going back and forth, I like to get another opinion. So if you don't mind, what do you feel about what you've heard so far?
Well, I just came in on the tail end of this. So I can't really give a whole lot to the conversation. However, though, I do have a question in regards to Egyptologists claiming that basically the whole Bible came from Kemet and those particular stories. And I'm not asking this in an adversarial type of position. However, though, I do have to ask is that what do you say about, as far as Yah, the Most High Yah, when Pharaoh himself said that he did not recognize Yah? He did not even know who that God was. So if that be the case, then how in the world could anyone say that our history as Hebrews is actually taken from a God that already existed, when Pharaoh himself said, I don't even know who this guy is. I don't know who this God is. So if the Hebrew history is actually robbing from Kemet, why come Kemet did not recognize who Yah was?
All right, so where you get that information from where you just quoted? From the Charleston Heston movie.
Let me say what?
You done saw the same Charleston Heston movie that I done saw and Bruh Seth done saw. These people put a campaign together against Egypt, man, that it was out of this world, and seemed like it still got a lock on black people's minds. Look, when I went to Luxor, man, a revolution went off in my head. It's nowhere in this world that I could keep on believing what I was once believing. All that old ancient royalty, where they said nothing good came out of Luxor. Show that. Look with your own eyes. Yeah, they put
Let me
show
this real quick. And Victim to Victorious, I want you to definitely chime in here because I know you're not done, but I got to just jump in real quick, Brother Joseph. This is what I think, Brother Joseph. I think you remind
me
of Elijah.
Brother, where he get, hold up. Ask the brother where he get that quote from.
First of all, I don't want to argue about this.
That's what we need to do to get this thing right. That's what we need to do.
Listen.
Ain't no wrong with auger.
No.
To get my phone right.
No, hear what I'm saying, I'll tell you, I ain't going to argue with you. Here's what I'm saying. I know it's in Scripture. Give me a few minutes. I'll point it to you. See, I'm not going to speak anything where I can't back up
Scripture.
Is
it? So that's your slave mouth of Scripture. That's your slave mouth of Scripture that came to, where they put together in Rome. That's your slave mouth.
Wait, hold up. How can you? But let me ask this question.
Feel, man.
How can you say? Here's the question. If that be the case, if you believe everything came out of Rome, then where did the scrolls come from?
Hey, why they can't find nothing in Israel? Why they can't find no bones in Israel? And Abraham and Moses, them English names. I mean, come on, man. We in reality, man. We in reality. It's time to put that Hollywood stuff down. And the
Brother
way
Joseph,
we can
Brother
it,
Joseph, Brother Joseph.
Get another 1,000 years the way we can it. Our minds
Brother,
ain't elevated nowhere.
Brother Joseph, hold on.
Yeah.
Brother Joseph, I'm going to make this quick comment. Brother Joseph, this is what I believe. You remind me of Elijah Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad knew that we had some beliefs that was wrong. And instead of him just telling the honest to God truth that Islam wasn't just a black man's religion, that a lot of whites was in it, he kind of lied and concocted his own version of Islam. And then he started really dogging and saying some things about the Bible. You know, he starts saying the white man is the devil. What he did, he said, the only way I'm going to get these folks from believing this white Jesus, I'm going to have to just start up a whole other religion. Because it proved later on that he probably knew better. And so he kind of started, threw the whole baby out with the bathwater. But if you listen to his teachings, you realize, wait a minute, he must have didn't believe. What I think you're doing is you know in your spirit, Brother Joseph, that something ain't right. That part of you is right. That's why I got you on my show. Because I'm with you. I know something ain't right.
Something
that part
ain't
of
right.
You is, hold on. Listen. You're right. You're absolutely right. There is something we know about that book. That ain't right. Something missing. The Bible says that many other things did Most High, you know, as far as the sun standing still when Moses had hold his hand up, and they say, and it is written in the book of Jasher. Well, there is no book of Jasher. The Bible even said it's written in the book of Jasher, but when you look at the Bible, it don't even have a book of Jasher. And it's of several books. It's like 6 times it does that. So there's 5 books we know missing that the Bible says should be in there. Now, that right there tell you that book been tampered with. So we know something ain't right. We look at our people at the bottom of society. We know something ain't right. We're working beside this white man and white woman. We work with them. Some of us marry them. We live by them. We go to church with them. And we know they're not more intelligent, but we find ourselves at the bottom. And we say, why? Something ain't right. So I feel you there. But what
that's
I don't like
that
you're doing, hold on, my brother. You've got to let me get at what I'm saying. What I don't like that you're doing, and I think is dangerous, you have a tendency to do what Elijah Muhammad did. You want to throw out the whole thing. Now, your boy, who you just got through playing, hold on, your boy, who you just got through playing, if you really think you should throw out the whole thing, quit quoting all these people that do believe in the book. Because the guy you just played actually started quoting from the Bible, and anybody you play is going to, I've noticed, everybody you like, pick and choose out of the book. So if the book is no good, you stick with your belief and don't quote anything out of the book. Go start from the book of the dead, Egyptian book of the dead. That's your Bible.
No,
start
no,
there.
Brother, what we suffer from is slave mentality. You know what slave mentality is. You know what white people say about us? Even if you had a PhD, you still suffer from a mental disease from what you came out of from 500 years.
I don't live my life based on what white people say. Hold on. I'm going to have to mute you, man, because I got to get some words in here. Brother Joseph, and I'm going to mute you, man, but I got to get some words in here. I don't let those people dictate to me who I am, what I am. I don't let them dictate to me anything. I don't let Black people dictate to me who I am, what I am. I'm going to say it like Tupac say, only God can judge me. Only he know who I am, what I possess. I don't even know what I possess. He knows what I can do. Even I don't know my true potential. He is the only one that knows me, the manufacturer. That's the only one that knows the product. That's the only one that knows how the product operates. That's the only one that knows the potential of the product. White men, black men, Hispanic, Asian, Indian, all of these folks are guessing. I don't let them tell me nothing, and you really need to quit quoting them, too, about what they say. I'm bringing you back on the air. Go ahead, man.
Wait a minute, hold on. Can I say something here?
Go ahead, brother.
I just want to be able to talk without having to be in talk over, because I'm not going to get
Oh, Lord.
I'm not.
Okay, I put Brother Joseph on mute. He's not cooperating tonight for some reason. Go ahead. I'm going to let him talk. That's airways, but go ahead, brother.
Yeah, because I got folks in the house that are asleep, and I'm not going to wake them up, bottom line. Now, he was wanting to know, you know, well, where in the Bible did you find where Pharaoh said he didn't even know who y'all was? Well, Exodus chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. That's where you find it. And afterward, Moses and Aaron, which if you want to go back to original Hebrew, Moses' name was really actually Moshe. And Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith Yah, mighty one of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Now, hold on now. Watch this. Second verse. This is what Pharaoh said. Nobody else said this. This is what Pharaoh said. Pharaoh said, and who is Yah that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not Yah, neither will I let Israel go. Now, hold on. If Hebrews were copying Kemet, then Pharaoh would have immediately recognized who Yah was. The problem was Yah wasn't on his list of the gods that they worshiped at that particular time. And here I think it's so dangerous, because how many times did the Father want to deliver the Hebrew people? And he warned them, don't go back to Egypt. And you know what, Brother Seth? This is exactly what we're still trying to do today, because we suffer from an illness called identity theft. Now here's the issue. Yes, we suffer from identity theft. And look, Brother Joseph, I know that there are some issues within these 66 books that came out of the Council of Nicaea. Man, I get that. I'm with you. Ain't going to be no argument, none whatsoever, because we know the book of Jasher. That's one issue. They actually, in the 1611 original King James Version, they had the Apocrypha in it. And then they said, oh, my goodness, we're going to let too much information. Somebody's going to get hit to this. So when they put out the second version of the King James Version, in 1765, they made sure they took out the Apocrypha. I get all that, man. But guess what? We got something that them jokers ain't had. We have the Ruach, or what everybody know it by as the Holy Spirit. Because, see, when the law was first given, the law was not first given to the children of Israel. It was actually given to mankind when he first appeared on this earth. How do you think Abraham got the law? He got it from Noah and his son Shem. He spent 39 years with the both of them and came up out that cave, and that's how Abraham had the law written across his heart. They didn't have all those tablets and all those rules, because the Almighty Yah knew who he was dealing with. He knew he was dealing with a rebellious people. He knew he was dealing with a people that even thousands of years later was still going to try to come back to Egypt. And so that's why he had to put those laws and statutes on those tablets. And we have not yet grasped the fact that the righteousness of the law is supposed to be written on our heart, that our relationship is with him. And we allow all these distractions in the spirit to take us away from him. And so, brother, I know that there are some issues within the scriptures that was given to us in that Bible. But guess what? We got a responsibility to find out the truth. Okay, where's the other books? It's our responsibility to put that stuff together by the leading of the Spirit. That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
We got a
well
problem,
put.
Man.
Well put. Brother Joseph is probably pissed off by now, but I had to let you get what you said out because he's been sharing. So, Brother Victim to Victorious, a.k.a. Brother Bobby, I need to talk to you after the off the air, too. But just I'm going to put you back on hold, bring Brother Joseph back on, give him the floor.
Okay.
If he ain't too pissed, then we'll just wrap up this show, okay? So just
okay.
Hold. I'm going to put you back on hold, and let me know. Press 1 if you have a comment. It's always good to
okay.
Hear from you, brother. All right.
Brother Joseph, you know what our problem is? Hey, Brother Self, you know what our problem is? We think we too good for each other. We think we can't get in the dirt, and just bust each other up. That's our problem. We just so timid with each other. You know, I don't want to hear what you got to say because it don't roll right with me. That's what we need to do. We need to get in the ring and bust each other up and get this thing right because you know what? Ain't much time left.
Well, Brother Joseph, in all due respect to you, first of all, the brother was saying he's at home, people are asleep, he can't raise his voice. I understand it because guess what? My family is asleep too, and I can't raise my voice. So this is not a time to be yelling, trying to bust
why
each
you
other
need to raise? I can't raise
hold
my
on,
voice.
Hold on. Furthermore, busting each other up, what happened with me and when they start this pissing contest, what happens is they shut down and they ain't hearing each other. It's all about who they start degrading each other. So I don't like the way it busts each other up. Dialogue, yes. Debate, yes. As long as your spirit is right. But listen,
that's
just
what
so I'm you know something, I want you to know something about you on a positive note because I know like I'm dogging you out tonight and I'm not. You are on to something, and we do need you. We need you to keep doing what you're doing as far as the research and getting the truth out because you know, these people on the phone lines right now, there's several people on the phone lines, they don't know what you really got. I mean, they don't know how deep you can go with this. They don't know you can go toe-to-toe with masonry and talk about the New World Order. And hold on. They don't know. You got a lot of information. So what am I saying? I'm saying we need you to continue to be the researcher, the like you say, you call it busting each other up, but how you do what you do, but I'm going to caution you, my brother, like I told my wife, because when we start studying, we start finding out about all of this Egyptologist, it rocked us for a minute, it did. I ain't going to lie. We are open. We ain't just going to just be brainwashed by nobody. So when we started hearing about Horus and how he did the same things as Christ, we was rattled a little bit, but this is what I've learned, my brother. Every single one of these person that are presenting this, every single one of them quote the Bible. And they quote it as proof. They quote it as a part of their presentation. To me, if the book is tainted, listen, if the book is tainted, do just what you said earlier. Throw it away. Close it. Don't quote the book. You need to go with Egyptian Book of the Dead, and other sources, build your facts on that. You can't miss, you know, that's what I don't get. And then they try to, I like that one guy was saying, we ain't no Hebrews. But then he want to turn around and quote the Hebrews law for leprosy. That was the, he lost all kind of points when he did that with me. But what I'm sharing with you, my brother, my dear brother, we need you to keep researching, but you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You are right. Some people are brainwashed. Christianity got some of the most brainwashed people. They can't defend their faith. They can't even tell you how they saved. They can't tell you when the Messiah is returning or if he's returning. They can't tell you end-time prophecy. They don't understand the Revelation. They don't understand Isaiah. They don't understand the blood of Christ. They don't understand righteousness. Christians are some of the most ignorant people on the planet, most of them that I know. I'm being honest. Pastors, too.
But you know
but
what?
Guess what? It ain't, hold on. It ain't just them. You go to the Muslims and you listen. They don't know the history of Islam. They really don't.
and you get some of these Egyptologists. Just get them and listen to them. You can pick them apart without even thinking. People are very ignorant, especially Americans. They think they're the smartest nation. But if you really listen to Americans and then go flip the other dial and all these people cross the water, some people from other lands, you'll find that Americans are very dumb. And this white male, I love white people. I ain't going to lie, because I realize they are us. We are them. They just have no pigmentation. But white people, arrogance is going to be and have been their downfall. The white male, God help him, he is so proud and so arrogant. It's very humbling to me when I see a white man listening to a black man. That is one of the greatest things to see, because you just don't see it. And those probably are some of the wisest people on the planet, because they got the best of both worlds. They got their own white people they can listen to, and, you know, and then they go listen to the blacks. But very few white males will humble themselves to listen to especially somebody that have less than them. They figure if you got less than you can't know what's going on. That's not true. Not true. Some people, like Brother Victim to Victorious, Brother Bobby was saying, have that ruach. We have the spirit, and the spirit, Brother Joseph, this is for you, reveal some of these ancient histories. Reveal what the enemy is trying to do. So you don't have to be on the air, Brother Joseph, hollering, the books are closed, we're lost, we ain't been nowhere, we ain't going nowhere. You sound hopeless. You sound hopeless.
Who sound hopeless? Who?
You sound hopeless. Nobody want to hear, we lost, the books are sealed, the black men ain't done nothing, we all confused. Listen, man, we have hope. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So all you got to do if you want to know what's going on is study trends, study cycles. There's nothing them Egyptians did that we ain't doing today. It's a cycle. Right now, black folks are doing all kind of great, great, great things. That's one thing I like about Jet and Ebony. They used to highlight a lot of that. Man, we're doing so many great things now. Please, Egypt, do the same black folks. I'm not talking about the ignorant ones out there with their pants down. I'm talking about the spiritual, intellectual, I mean really ones that are astute. There's some powerful people doing some powerful things right now, but you won't know if you're somewhere just stuck on this blog talk, listen to these Egyptologists. You got to get out there and listen. There's a lot going on in our world. We're not hopeless. We're not destitute. We're not impoverished. Black people, if they said if we let that dollar, our black dollar, circulate within our community, I think it was seven times, we become like, I think it was the eighth richest nation in the world. Ain't no money shortage among no black people. There's a unity problem among black people. There's a love problem among black people. And not to mention our friends, when we get ourselves together and let that dollar circulate among our own people, become the eighth richest nation, who's to say Germany, France, Italy, India won't say, you know what, I want to do business with y'all. Eighth richest nation? Do you have any idea who the eighth richest nation is right now, how powerful they are? That'd be like we would be like equivalent to like a Germany or France. I mean, this is some powerful stuff that we got right now. As destitute as we look, we're not as destitute as we look. A lot of black folks are sounding like you. Let me just say one more thing, and you got the flow. I promise. A lot of black people like you is blowing the wrong horn. You're blowing a very gloomy, doomy, we're all just cursed kind of thing. That's not true.
Brother Self, year 2012, the black man is in. I don't know what to call the situation he in. See, I'm not talking about the black people with money. Black people ain't got no money. You see them every day like I see them every day. They broke down, ain't got no jobs. They got gout, got all kind of diseases.
And wearing joints with an iPhone and some doggone, what you call them, earphones that cost about $50. Yeah, I see them.
You wait till this white man pull his plug. You really gonna see reality. I'm gonna tell you something, my friend.
I'm gonna tell you something. I said this to you. I don't know why you don't get this. White people, who I love. I'm gonna say this because I know what I'm about to say is strong. So I'm letting them know I ain't hating on them. I love them as a people because I really recognize who they are, which is nothing more than a part of us. We are them. They are us.
White people don't have the kind of power to what you're talking about. You're talking about the Most High. You are describing Yah, who brought a victim to be victorious. Just talking about. Brother Bible was just talking about this Yah. The Bible says Jah, but we know there was no J in Hebrew, so we say Yah. Some people say Yahweh. Some people say Yahweh. Some people just say, like me, the Most High. You are describing him, my friend, to give these minute people out of Europe who the Most High allowed to rise as a nation and begin to use those people as his belt to break down this planet who have turned their back on him. That's all they are, pawns in the game. They're nobody, no more than anybody else is what I'm saying. So you were talking about how powerful they are. What you need to say is the Most High is getting ready to chastise black people and chastise other people and chastise the planet because we've turned our back. America is getting ready to fall because she has forsaken the Most High. That needs to be your message. And the Most High, how he going to do it is he going to go through using the white male. You can say that. You can say that. Right. But don't give that man that much credit, man.
Look at reality. Look at reality. Who controlling what?
Listen, Brother Joseph, let me tell you what reality is for me. White women marrying black men. White males marrying black females. And the white men that's left is gay. You cannot rule with that type of behavior. You got to have a family. You got to have numbers. What you saying can't exist. They might do something crazy, try to drop a bomb here or there, but I mean a long rule of white supremacy? No, that's not what Revelation says about to happen to the United States of Babylon, Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. You're not scripture with what you're saying. You can say the Bible, close the book, throw it away all you want, my friend. I'm going to tell you something. You and I are like the leaf that blows on the tree. We come and go. Prophecy. These universal laws is going to be fulfilled. And you, my friend, is off the mark. You're pissed off at the black folks, and you should be. You're pissed
you
off at our love.
I see the condition black folks in. I see them every day. I drive a medical transportation, medical provider van. They broke down with all kinds of diseases. All
this is what you tell
disease.
Your brothers and sisters when you
don't
know
how to
eat.
We don't know how to think.
You should say
it
my
right.
brother.
We
still, you should
we
say
still
my brother,
right.
my sister. You should say my brother, my sister. You need to turn to the Most High. You need to turn to the Most High and keep his laws that your life may be preserved and you may be one of those that he'll preserve in his last night. But if you're saying, I don't know what my books are. My books are sealed. This white man, this big white Al-Qaeda white man is everywhere doing everything. If you start talking like that, man, you are a prophet of doom. Who
is
listening?
Let me say this, bro. Let me say this. Remember I told you I did 15 years? I don't saw how them young boys lose the will to live because they caught up in a situation they created themselves. Drop the will to live. And it's the same thing I'm saying now. When this white man put the plug on this thing, a lot of people can lose the will to live. When you lose that will, you done lost everything. When I was in that, I didn't miss a beat. I said, I'm going to live this thing for what it's worth. That's all I'm saying. Reality is what it is, man. And I believe this whole thing is scripted. Why you think they created that state of Israel? They come from out of nowhere. We the chosen people and got the whole world believing that.
First of all, they ain't pushing
in the industry. These people own it. You can't write a book that you.
They ain't pushing no we the chosen people. I don't know where you get that from. But listen, let me say this about suicide. I know so-called Don Cornelius, he so-called killed himself. I don't believe it. I don't care what nobody say. He can be
Listen.
If he did, he's a rare black man. Black folks don't kill themselves. When you're at the bottom and you live at the bottom, You know how to survive. There is no other way from the bottom than to go up. So as a rule, when you see the hood, there is no suicide in the hood. Very little. Because if you're at the bottom and you're used to the bottom, only thing ever happened to you is something. You only can go up. Anything happening is most likely going to be something taking you up. If you stay on the bottom, it's what you're used to. How are you going to commit suicide? However, if you're born at the top and you have that fall, oh, yeah, suicide, and that's what happens. So I don't see the prophecy happen the way you're saying. When this white man dropped this, this black man, they're gonna lose the will to live. What can the white man do to the black man that's going to cause him to lose? If we can't get food, all they're going to do is go bust some white people out there and take their food. Ain't no black people going hungry. Forget that. If we don't have a place to stay, we already, some of us already know how to do that, know how to survive without the. You always can have a place to stay. It's always going to be houses and wood and trees. You can always make some of you, even a good tent. But what do you mean, a white man? Whatever he dropped. Now, if he dropped an atom bomb, that's everybody. So you got to really think about what you're saying. When this white man drops, what he going to do? This people going to lose the will to live. If anybody going to lose the will to live, it's going to be the white man and the white woman for sure. Those are the people that, you know, and they deserve the best. Everybody deserves the best. So I ain't hating. But they have been used to finer things in life, and they deserve it. We deserve it. Everybody deserves it. And all of a sudden, they find themselves without those, like what's happening right now in the economy. That's who's committing suicide. That's who's going into places and shooting up everybody. It's very few black people doing that. And if they are, that's because they was born at the top and they had a nice drop. Humans is just humans. Ain't no white man versus black man. I know white supremacy, yes, it's real, but that's a philosophy. It's dying. Like I say, Brother Joseph, you forget everything I say tonight, and everybody under the sound of my voice listening, if you forget everything Brother Seth said tonight, here's the one thing that shoot down everything you're saying, that white man cannot control his white woman. The Internet is alive and popping. Ignorance is taking a beating. Folks is finding out that black males is not what they say. They're finding out that we're human beings. We don't have a tail. We ain't over sex. We love our family. And white women are finding black males attractive. I know sometimes it's that main reason, that whole sexual thing. But they are marrying black men, having quality children, and black women. And white males is also getting it on as well. Not that I'm not saying I'm for it, against it. I do support people marrying people, but I'm just saying you can't survive as a people when you got these many. It's more people interracial marriage popping there almost as a black marrying black. You can't have these high numbers of interracial and homosexuality among the white male and the white female. It's high. It happens so that they have the smallest amount of kids in the United States. It just so happened that they're 8% of the world's population. On top of that, you got the homosexuality strong in Europe and in America. Okay. On top of that, you're not marrying your white women at the rates you did 30, 40 years ago. And then the white males is marrying black. You cannot. With those numbers, your people, that's why the Klan, that's the number one fear of the Klan. That's what they talk about more than anything, is interracial dating, because they're trying to survive genetically as a people. So what you're saying can't hold water. That 8% poverty went down to 7% by now. So you can't continue to rule. Listen, you can't continue to rule, because you're going to have white uncles and aunts and nephews that might tell off on you. Let's say if I was a white male and I'm part of Illuminati or something. It's too much interracial. White people can penetrate these circles, and some of them are married to black males, and that's how you're going to have these leaks, and you just can't rule. So guess what the new oppression that's coming? The new oppression coming ain't going to be the white male, according to Revelation. The new oppression that's coming is going to be the fall of Babylon, and it's orchestrated by the Most High. It don't matter who pull the plug. It's going to be pulled, my friend, and ain't none of us going to, well, unless you serve the Most High and follow him, you will suffer with Babylon when it goes down.
Brother, I think it's dangerous for humanity that basically their whole existence on a book. A book is only for Hollywood to write scripts for a movie. That's all I see that book as. It's a script.
What is your friends reading that you quote? What are they basing their information on?
No, brother.
I asked you a question. Please answer.
Say again.
What is your friend that you love and is quote who's changing your life and informing you and creating this new brother Joseph, this enlightened one? What are they reading? Where are they getting the information? If it ain't from books.
No. What I learned is where this whole story came from. This Akhenaten. But seem like we can't let that book go. We just got to have a God.
Listen. I gotta wrap this show up. We got
what I'm saying. You don't need that God that book said you need, brother. You got
what
to
I'm
fight
saying
your
to
own
you
battle.
You just said, hold on, brother Joseph. We gotta wrap this show up. I'm gonna let you have final words. I'm gonna have words. Let you have final words. We gotta wrap this up. All I'm saying to you is I feel like you're bleeding all over us.
Yes, I am bleeding.
Listen. You upset with your people, and you should be. Thank you for that. Let me get this out. I believe you have constant talk about how messed up we are. So obviously you have issues there. You have issues with the Bible. You remind me so much of Elijah Muhammad. He was so angry at white supremacy, and he had a right to be way back then. He just created some religion to get our minds off all this crap. He didn't mind fudging the truth a little bit because he knew that would get us away from this white Jesus. That's all his number one thing was. You want to get us away from the book. I'm going to tell you something. Be very careful. Be very careful, my friend, because somebody going to believe you. And if you got somebody right now that's trusting that book and they came off drugs or maybe they got delivered from prostitution or maybe being arrogant and they are really, the Bible has blessed them and salvaged them. And you go to talking about Egypt and you bring up Horus and talk about all this stuff and whatever you're going to bring up and they decide, well, you say, throw that Bible away. Our books are sealed. And they throw the Bible away. Their blood, according to the scriptures, which you probably didn't care for, the Bible says their blood is going to be on your hands. Now, you probably don't care. All I'm saying to you is be careful. People are listening. You keep thinking you're just talking to me. Right now, as you speak, there's folks on the phone lines, and they may say, that brother Joseph is sharp. I like him. You don't know who's listening.
All I'm saying is the black man needs to stand on his own feet and use what he got between his ears. Brother, that book is setting a lot of people up. And see, it's cold outside, and they ain't got but one transfer. And they're going to be impatient to wait for that bus. What if the bus never comes? What you going to do then with your transfer?
I'm going to play a song at the end of this show that's going to answer that question. Go ahead and have last words, Brother Joseph, and I'm going to have last. Well, why don't you go ahead and comment? I'll have last words. We'll end with this song that I think is going to be very fitting for the night. Folks, y'all, please, you want to hear this song.
My last word is Akhenaten. Look at him. Find out everything you can about Akhenaten and realize where the whole spirit came from.
And that's Amen Hotep the Fourth also.
I told you, brother, I done did 15 years, man. I done been around some slimy predators, man. And I didn't lose what I had between my ears for 1 minute. I had to use that to guard my heart. I didn't have nothing but me in there. And I struggled till I got out. I didn't have no book. I had only me, the will to get up out there. And a lot of brothers didn't make it. I'm telling you what I saw with my own eyes. You put a person in a situation, we're going to see who the tough guy is. See, right now, everybody living that old cozy life. But let things get tight and hard. Let it get hard for them.
Brother Joseph, you're talking about the African American. Nothing can get harder than what they're going through.
No. We got to go through this one more time. Another civil war. We got to go through it all over again.
Brother Joseph, okay, those are your last words. Go ahead and finish because I'm going to give mine. We're going to let these people go. Thank y'all for staying
on the
air.
I'm going to say this. They tried to take the United States during the Civil War. And like I said last week, Justin Davis said these same issues going to rise and surface again, and they're going to have to be dealt with.
All right, let me have my last words. We're going to wrap this show up with this song that's very fitting. Believers, those of you that fear the Most High, we are commanded to rejoice. When these times that Brother Joseph is talking about come, and they are prophesied to come, for sure. He says it's a little different. He says, when the white man dropped this, okay, that's him. I'm saying it like this. Book in Romans, in Revelation 17, 18, talks about the judgment of the great whore. It is going to happen. No other nation fit the characteristics of that nation, of that whore, other than the United States. She will wind up like all other whores on her back. That means for the citizen of the United States, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. We will become a third world nation. Our businessmen will sell us out like they're doing right now, but they will just do it in grander style. Let this economy keep going down and I believe Obama will get back in. And I think Obama is their boy, the New World Order's boy. I hate that. I love the man, love his family, but he's handpicked. Sorry. I don't think new RM guys have a chance. Obama will get back in. This New World Order is going to be set up. Sorry. I hate it. Don't like saying it, but it's happening. It's already folks, it's already happening. We talk about that every Thursday. It's already in the mix. They ain't like it. Ain't happening, okay? They're selling us out as in the country, okay? Brother Joseph is right. There is pain that's going to come, but the Bible says that those of us that walk and are led by the Spirit, we need to rejoice. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. Why should we rejoice? Because the great whore has fallen. Oh, Brother Seth, you sound like a terrorist. No, I sound like somebody that's pro-Bible. We, as believers, are supposed to rejoice because his will is being done. Don't pray for the salvage of America. Don't pray for the salvage of India. Don't pray for the salvage of any country. Pray for the Most High's will. Pray his will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Don't be pro-America, be pro-kingdom. Ask for his kingdom to be set up, his kingdom to be set up. Because in order for his kingdom to be set up, wicked nations have got to be judged. If America is a great nation, she won't be judged. Just pray his will, pray his will. Pray his kingdom come, pray that, pray that. Don't be pro-America, be pro-world, be pro-kingdom. Look for his kingdom to come. And whatever nation rise, let them be the ones that rise, because some nations do try to fear the Most High more than we do. Our destruction is coming. Do I want it? No. I got children. I would love to know we're going to live another 100 years. My friend, according to the book, the things that Brother Joseph is saying is going to happen, even though he don't believe in the book. Throw it away. It's going to happen. Rejoice, though. The whore has fallen. And after all, who is the whore? She squandered. She made her wealth destituting other nations. She became powerful exploiting other nations. Shouldn't those other nations be allowed to rise? Shouldn't India, who's been getting all of the jobs, and we're still treat them like slavery, paying them $2 an hour and crap? Well, maybe when we fall, their salaries will rise and ours will fall. As for the black man that Brother Joseph talked about, they're already at the bottom. They're survivors. They'll make it. My concern is for our so-called white brothers and sisters. I say so-called, I'm talking about the white part. They are our brothers and sisters. I'm concerned about them. You pray for anybody in the United States, pray for the Caucasian. Pray for your Caucasian brothers and sisters because those are the ones that's going to suffer the most. They got more at stake to lose. They've been lied to about this country. They've been told from them since they was a child how wonderful it is and the stars and the red, white, and blue. They never stop to analyze that the red is for blood. Blood is everywhere. It's up to our knees. I hope I'm wrong. But according to Scripture, according to the prophets, white and black, everybody, spotlight is on this country. We are going to be judged, unfortunately, under the leadership of a black man. Rejoice. The kingdom of the Most High is coming. It's here. It has to be done. This has to happen, according to the Scripture. Brother Joseph, thank you for coming on tonight. And everybody,
hey,
this is encouraging. You think what Brother Joseph and I are saying something? No, this song says it all. This song says it all. This is my heart's cry. You want to know what's in Seth's heart? Check this song out.
You may ask me why I serve the Lord. Is it just for heaven's gain? Or to walk those mighty streets? And to hear the angels sing. Is it just to drink from the fountain that never shall run dry? Or just to live forever, ever and ever? And that sweet old by and by. But if heaven never was promised to me, neither God promised to live eternally. It's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, He came along, brought me the light. If there were never any streets of gold, neither a land where we'll never grow, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, He came along, brought me the light. Oh, He's been my closest friend down through the years. And every time I cry, He dries all my tears. Just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, He came along and brought me the light. I was lost and living in a world of darkness, but He brought me the light. Don't you know I was living in a world of darkness, but He brought me the light.